So there.
So there.
Speaking of wanting you, I just saw the words dragon boners on on the document that we are not using, are using.
Does that mean you want to kick this pig right now, or do you want to engage in some more off-the-cuff banter about throwing bones at things?
No, we can banter away. Can we banter about dragon boners?
Yeah, all the time.
Have you heard of the dragon dildo?
Are dragons asexual? No, I haven't heard of the dragon dildo.
You owe it to yourself to Google that thing.
Is it like a Japanese New Year thing? Like they make a vibrator for each year of the... So this is the year of the horse dildo?
No, it's just a huge dragon wang.
There's like fan art about it.
Yeah.
dragon, wang the dragon.
You can find reviews on YouTube. I'm looking at pictures on Know Your Meme, and it's kind of incredible.
Are there Amazon reviews for it?
No. This is, oh my god, there's a dragon vagina.
What happens if you buy both?
You get one wish.
You make dragon babies.
For some reason, in all the pictures I'm looking at, they have a bottle of Coke in it, so for size comparison. It's like, well, you put this up there all the time, so you should know that, you know.
Obviously, the purchasers of that are of a higher caliber. Otherwise, it would be a bottle of Diet Mountain Dew in the background.
Did you see the tentacle dildo? It's like a release the Kraken dildo.
Does it look like Jeffrey Rush's face?
Kinda, a little bit.
I'm gonna Google that now.
Just Google dragon dildo. You cannot move it from your history ever.
I'm dildoing.
It's my favorite search engine.
I'm dildoing dragon dildo Jeffrey Rush. I got a picture of Forrest Whitaker.
I just Googled release the Kraken dragon dildo. Can we just do this for the rest of the night?
Yeah. Let's just talk about the pictures we're looking at for the rest of the 3 to 8 hours we're going to record for.
There's a doctor looking at a chart. I'm going to send this picture. Hold on. Oh, okay. Hold on. This is a great picture.
Okay. I do like how the Coke cans are blurred out as if they are, you know, infringing on some copyright issues.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Jamie, check the Skype chat. I know you can't, Griffin.
have you been, have you encountered it's that, just, like...
It's one... just a doctor looking...
Oh, I lost everyone.
I was reviewing a patient chart, and I saw Dragon Dildo written in the chart. That would be pretty exciting.
That is actually you from the future, sent back in time to prevent people from putting Dragon Dildos in their butt.
I mean, my specialty. What are you, a nephrologist, a pulmonologist? No, I specialize in the removal of dragon dildos.
From any orifice, really.
Dragon dildectomy?
Oh, man.
I feel like I went to a doctor with one of my clients recently, and it was the greatest doctor name ever. It was like an MRI person or something. And it was like their title was like X-rayologist or something. It was something
Imagineer.
Something like super literal. Do you know what it might be?
It was probably a tech. You probably went to see a tech.
Could be. It was an MRI machine.
Did it say calculator?
A calculator from FFT?
Librarian.
Was it just an MRI machine and an iPhone with Siri going in front of it, and that was the whole thing?
There was no iPhone. It was the one where you lie down and you can move a little bit if you want, and you're not in a tube.
Was it a CT scan?
I think you were at the airport,
yes, it was.
And they were just looking at your balls.
Yeah, yeah, they touched my balls. I never really questioned it when they touched my balls at the doctor's office.
Said he was a doctor. I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my appointment, but I just figure it's always good to check.
Mm-hmm. I told you guys that I did my very first
You had a Groupon
mail.
For it, right?
I did my very first in real life male genital and rectal exam. Did I tell you guys about that?
No. Did you exciting. Happy ending?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any other way?
No. I have to get an A, you know.
Yeah.
This is all being graded, so I'm not going to skimp on anything.
An A for anal, a B for butt sex.
but no joke, the guy who's you're doing it on is a teacher. Like, he gets paid. This is his job. he knows exactly. So when you put your finger in, he's like, no, that's not the prostate. Just go a little counterclockwise. He's like, oh, that's it.
That's it. Literally, that's it. Oh!
Does he look exactly like the guy from Operation and his nose lights up red when you get it right?
He was amazing looking. First of all, he was like maybe 55, 60. He had no hair on his body, head shaved, everything shaved.
Eyebrows?
He had, what?
Great kisser.
Eyebrows?
He did have eyebrows. He had one earring in his left ear, which was like a devil's tail in his left ear.
A dragon's dong?
And the thing he said the most... the whole time was literally paint the anus because you have to rim it with lube before you do it. So he's like, paint it.
Jason, I'm just imagining like a creative arts class. You're all just drawing assholes.
Oh man.
This will all just make your wife really mad, Griffin.
When people buy the DVD, they'll get this as a bonus feature.
She stopped listening a long time ago.
Oh man. I think Jessica listened to the podcast once and was like, it's way too long.
I had a weird thing the other day where I was listening to podcasts, and of course, and I finally sat down and listened, and I was like, oh, fuck, finally, something that goes for longer than 45 minutes. Like, I listened to a podcast that was like 2.5 hours. I was like, oh, Jesus, a feature-length movie, finally.
Which was that?
It was 8-4, but... I've been listening to a lot of shorter podcasts, and it's like, I need something to just put me to sleep.
I haven't really read. I haven't really listened to Giant Bomb lately. Are they no longer doing 2-3 hour marathons? Mm.
No, they're doing the full length thing, of course.
Okay,
good.
I don't listen to any video game podcasts anymore. All I listen to is the Diane Rehm Show. She's an old lady who talks about news.
You should,
she sounds like she's dying.
You should download that and then use VLC player to double the speed. That's what I would
do. No, I love her lackadaisical pace.
This is Diane Rehm.
She doesn't talk like she has lung cancer. Well, a little bit. She has a rare vocal condition.
But she love her too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's
I'm
a
excited.
Rare vocal condition in this day and age.
What's that? What is that?
That's the Full House song.
Oh,
about that. Shubidoo-wop, ba-da.
On today's podcast, Danny Tanner, depth analysis.
Did you guys play video games?
I played a lot of video games.
Hey, everybody, this is Boss Bale Radio. I'm Griff Hoffman, and Jeff and Jamie are here, of course. Jeff Burr, Jamie Scherer, how are you?
Good.
Peyton Anus is...
listening,
and you as well, painting anuses, Jeff?
Yep. Well, you know, in my spare time.
Yeah. Let's do a podcast. We're here.
Yeah, let's do it, Griffin.
10 minutes after that,
Griffin. Can you just give us a primer, because we didn't do this yet? So you said that you
well,
were bringing
something back.
This
today. Is a podcast, and for the next 3 to 18 hours, we're going to talk about our thoughts, feelings, and other things people don't care about, and then we're going to put it up on the internet where somebody can listen to it by accident.
Interesting.
But you said that there was something coming back this time. Something new? Some trivial issues or something?
Oh, yeah, some trivial nonsense. So yeah, we're gonna do trivia again. For longtime listeners, you may be aware of Boss Bear Radio Trivia. We used to do trivia every week. It would be all sorts of things. Like, it could be just straight up questions. I used to do music trivia where we'd play music and you had to guess what game it was from. There'd be like, you know, just topical trivia or something. But this week I'm going with the lowest hanging fruit possible, and we're going to do back of the box trivia.
Okay. So like stuff on the back of the box?
Yeah, so I've got 10 video games here and their boxes, and I'm going to read to you two what is on the back of them, omitting certain giveaway words, specifically obvious characters or titles, and then you will guess what game
Sonic
it is.
Sonic 2006.
No.
Sonic Boom.
Yes.
We should talk about that at some point. How are we gonna tackle this? I feel like there's a lot of stuff going on here.
You want to do it right now? Just get out of the way.
The trivia?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Are you ready? Jamie, can you get a little closer to Mike by any chance?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is up to you guys, however you want to do this. We can either do it one way, which is you say your name to buzz in, and then you state the game you think the description belongs to, or...
Jamie, Sonic 2006.
Or I read the full description and you write down your answers. However, I feel the latter will encourage more
minds?
Cheating since you're around PCs and you have fingers that touch keyboards.
That's not all I touch. Jamie, tell them about the anus.
Well, everyone's got one.
I'm cool with doing the name thing, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, great. But can I yell out barbiturate waffle smack?
Yes, but it will take you longer to complete your name than it will Jeff.
I'll yell out YOLO flip in honor of iPod.
Alright. Alright, so I have 10 games here. There is one hint I have for you guys, and that is these are all games from my collection. So I'm not reading them from the internet or whatever. So, yeah.
Persona.
Yep.
Sonic 2006.
Yes. Once again, you got it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Are you ready? Here's the first video game. It's cat and mouse chaos in space. Lead your mice to their getaway rockets before your rivals.
Guess a YOLO flip. Choose your rocket.
It is Choo Choo Rocket, YOLO Flip.
Wow. I'm going to lose so bad. I don't even know what that game is.
Let me get a paper to keep score.
Griffin, you want to be mad at me? I played that game on an Android tablet.
Why would you ever play that outside of playing it online or on a Dreamcast?
Because I don't have my Dreamcast anymore.
Oh.
Sadly.
That is sad. Okay.
It was my brother's and he sold it.
Oh, what a jerk.
Yeah.
All right. I've got the next game in my hand here. And it is stating on the back of the box, AD 2047, Neo Kobe, Japan, a place of
YOLO
madness.
YOLO flip. Okay. Snatcher?
God damn it.
It is Snatcher.
What are these games?
Wow.
What?
Jamie, I'm so sorry.
Jeff, you've never even played Snatcher, have you?
The Neo Kobe thing gave it away for me.
Yeah. A mysterious bioroid form has appeared. Its true nature and purpose are unknown. It's some country's secret weapon or an alien from another world. They slay their victims and take their places, earning the nicknames Snatchers. A new police division, Junkers, has been formed. They are trained specifically to combat Snatchers.
Can we so for the purposes of Jamie, who just feels confused and alone right now, can we explain both of those games?
Oh yeah, sure.
So Griffin, you played them
actually
both
wait,
more than I have.
No, let's wait till we're done, and then we can talk about some of them afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's keep the trivia train trolleying here.
Rolling.
Okay.
All right. The next game is...
I'm going to get this one. I'm going to get it.
Experience an unforgettable journey into a land... into a land forgotten by time, a seamless world filled with miles of majestic terrain, a story of companionship and undying love, and mythical giants to discover, unearth, and destroy.
Yellow Flip? Shadow of the Colossus?
It is Shadow of the Colossus.
I thought you didn't like that game. I was like, is this really Shadow of the Colossus?
Me?
I thought you didn't like that, Griffin.
No, I love it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Does that help?
Sure.
Okay.
Who didn't? Okay, go on. Go on.
Yeah. Okay. Your next one, Jamie. It is no points to just 3 points. The next game is your smallest decisions can change everything. The blank.
YOLO Flip. Heavy Rain.
What the fuck?
That doesn't even make any sense.
Am I right?
Yes.
are you there?
I guess I'm some kind of video game back of the box savant.
Maybe I should start reading from the last sentence up or something. What the hell, man?
I'm really sorry, Jamie.
I don't have to apologize. I knew I was gonna get pummeled. I knew it.
How is it that you're small? Whatever. Okay.
Because David Cage was trumpeting the value of choice in that game. And I know you like Heavy Rain.
No other games have choice in them.
Yeah, but Heavy Rain would start with choice.
All right,
I just
knew
it was Heavy Rain. I
don't know. Speaking of choice, here we go. By the year 2049, Earth has been turned into a toxic waste dump. Humankind has fled into space, leaving behind an army of mechanized Orbots to clean up the mess. But when the Orbot leader, Warhead, goes haywire and starts a robot revolt, only a sludge barge pilot named Blank can pull the plug.
This one I actually am not sure about. Jamie, any ideas? This is your chance to steal.
Blank can morph, change into a speeding train, a Metal power drill.
YOLO Flip. Vector Man.
It is Vector Man.
Griffin, this is not fair to Jamie. He didn't see that picture.
Oh, what picture? What? So you saw that and you're like, immediately, I must go research Vector Man?
No, because Griffin sent me a picture of games that he's thinking about playing this year, and Vector Man is just how obscure this is. It's a Sega Genesis game.
Oh, I know Vector Man. I played Vector Man.
Okay.
I didn't know he could turn into stuff.
Yeah, that's his hook.
I didn't remember that. I just remember he was made out of balls.
Accurate. Okay. Jeff, you're at 5. Jamie, you gotta get this one in order to, you know what? I'm gonna pick the hardest one in the pile here because if we'll see.
We're all
winners
here. We can
still go through them.
I think this is the most difficult one I have. All right, so it is. In ancient times, mysterious artifacts referred to as blank were discovered all over the world. People used these objects for their awesome powers, causing a rift in the world's balance. War was inevitable. 1,000 years later is when this story begins.
Blank face.
What?
What?
Is it Xenogears?
No.
It sounds Xenogears-ish. Can you read it again?
I'll read the two remain. Okay, whatever.
I'll finish it up. Sorry.
In ancient times, mysterious artifacts referred to as blanks were discovered all over the world. People used these objects for their awesome powers, causing a rift in the world's balance. War was inevitable. 1,000 years later is when this story begins. Picture subcaps. Control a party of up to 25 characters simultaneously. Critical trigger system keeps you in the action.
25?
I know Jeff's weakness here.
I'm going to say YOLO Flip, Suikoden 2.
Nope.
Shit.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Nope. That was...
YOLO Flip Last Remnant?
It was The Last Remnant.
Yes.
No points,
what
though.
What is that?
Okay, no points. It's a JRPG for the 360, which I actually own on PC. It was made by the Saga team, I believe.
Huh.
It's weird. It was like their attempt to appeal to Westerners. It's a Square Enix game.
It's a bunch of nonsense. Yeah, it was terrible. Critically terrible. Okay, here comes the next one. Return to the golden age of gaming and embark on a nostalgic-laden pixel heroes quest across vast 3D landscapes and mysterious dungeons to save Dotnia from the legendary evil.
Oh, yellow flip. 3D.GameHeroes.
3D.GameHeroes.
Oh, I should have gotten that one.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one I have is... Blank has been summoned to stop an ancient evil force to save the kingdom and rescue the princess. Embark on a wild comical action RPG in a massive 3D world filled with platform-style action, two-fisted sword fighting, challenging puzzles, and scores of enemies whose skill Blank can learn and use to his advantage. Locate 5 powerful magical scrolls to conquer the twisted Thirst Quencher Empire.
Yellow flip.
Okay. What is it?
What is it, yeah, Jeff?
Wait. No, oh, I said yellow flip.
Okay. It's not Darkseid. Oh, Thirst Quencher. Oh, Scattergory. That's a clue.
Absorb dozens of original techniques from foes. Blank grows stronger as he travels, battles, defeat bosses, learns new moves. Real voiceovers during key scenes. A fully polygon environment that changes in real time. Includes a collector's CD with playable demo of Blank.
This can't be Zone of the Enders.
No.
I thought it was like a licensed game with a Thirst Quencher thing.
Power Stone.
Thirst quenching gum. Makes you salivate like a motherfucker.
I don't remember. It's some kind of shitty Zelda clone.
Final Fantasy 13 2.
You got it, Jamie.
Oh, let's see. What could this be? So the Thirst Quencher Empire is the name of the empire?
Yep. Wow. Yeah, 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gatorade Legends.
It is Brave Fencer Musashi.
Oh, I never played that.
Includes collector's CD with playable demo of Final Fantasy VIII.
I remember getting the collector CD, the soundtrack. It's awesome.
All right. No points. All right.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Evil waits below the surface. Something sinister lurks in the depth of the planet Talon 4. Interstellar bounty. What?
Yeah.
Jamie,
go ahead. What?
I can't.
Oh, it's not Parasite Eve. No, YOLO flip.
Okay.
Metroid Prime.
Persona 4.
Echoes?
It is Metroid Prime.
Fudge.
But there is a Metroid Prime Echoes bonus disc included, so...
Half point.
Half point.
Quarter point. I'll take a quarter point for that.
All right. Last game. Someday never comes. A veiled darkness dwells in the shadows of a peaceful era as unforeseen events begin to shape the flow of time.
Legend
your birthday...
Zelda. The Majora Mask thing.
No. On
Did
your
you
birthday.
Say Sunday never comes?
Someday never comes.
Someday.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
On your birthday, you begin the traditional rite of passage of your village, but passing the final test is only the beginning of your adventures. Fret not, hero. The tasks before you are not yours alone. Join with other adventurers, whether they are on their Nintendo DS or the Wii.
Minecraft.
And undo the blank.
Wait a second.
Last Heroes of Light.
They're on their DS or their Wii?
Whether they're on their Nintendo DS or the Wii. Or the Wii TM.
Seaman.
I should know this. And you said it's your birthday and you have to pass test and then... Someday never comes, right?
Mm-hmm. Earthbound.
The bigger they are, face off against hordes of enemies and massive beasts. Take the adventure online with four players in simultaneous Wi-Fi play.
Me, YOLO, Monster Hunter, try.
No. Fuck. Combine function and style as you customize your hero's look.
Wait, on the Wii?
This one, I know everybody played.
Customize your hero's look.
Senna Saga?
No.
Or
we all played
game
this game in 2009 when it came out.
For the Wii or the DS? I can't think of a DS Wii compatible game.
All right, here's
what's
the title.
What's that Final Fantasy game? That Final Fantasy game that we played. What's that game?
I think you're thinking of Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
The Chronicles, Echoes of Time. That's that game?
Yeah.
How does the Wii figure into it?
I have no fucking clue.
Wait, I got a point.
Sure.
He got a point for that.
I get a point.
I think that counts.
1 point.
Yay.
So basically, I win. Because
totally.
I got the last one.
Yeah, it's like golf. Jeff got like a 6. He was like a double bogey, and you got like an eagle.
I got a 7.25, which is an average Game Informer.
Oh man!
All right, thanks for playing.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was interesting. I'd be down for more of that.
Everybody is extremely unfulfilled.
No, I just want Jamie to have a chance.
No, I
Jesus Christ.
Fun.
Okay, man. I bet Jamie wants Jamie to have a chance too. My God. Savage.
I don't even want a chance.
No, I had a good time with that. I love answering trivia questions.
Maybe if there was more anus painting games, we would it'd be a bigger fight.
You should just throw in the occasional anatomy question. Jamie would trounce me.
How about this? We'll play another game. We'll play another quick trivia game where I say the game and you guess. You have to guess the budget.
Hit me with it.
You have to guess the budget of the game in today's dollar. Well, let's say in the dollars for the year that it was released. Plus
converted
or minus
to Zenny.
Yeah, can I guess it in Danish kroner?
You can guess it in Danish kroner, but you have to guess it within plus or minus 10 million. Okay?
10 million Dogecoins?
Yeah, exactly. 10 million Doge. Okay, ready?
Ready.
Yes.
You have to buzz in.
Okay.
Actually, you don't need to buzz in. I'll just take a guess from both of you, and then whoever is closer will get it.
Okay.
So, Final Fantasy VII.
20 million.
$1, Bob.
You dick.
No. Okay, this is awesome. We'll do it Price is Right style. So if you go over, you fail. But in this case, Jeff was correct. Jeff was more correct. The game cost $45 million to make in 1997.
I'm a trivia god.
Truly.
I am a god. Have you heard Kanye's "I Am a God" Griffin?
No.
Okay, you're missing.
Hold on,
out.
I'm gonna pick our next game.
Okay.
Okay. One moment, please. Okay, the Wikipedia article for this game doesn't have a budget. How about?
You're getting the answers from Wikipedia, so it must be accurate.
Yes, this is the Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is way more accurate than the back of a box. An actual physical piece of evidence.
Okay. This is hard. I should have lined these up because
Dino
they don't
Crisis
always have...
3.
Titanfall,
you have it?
$1.
$70 billion. I wonder how much Titanfall has cost.
I will never do well at this game because that sort of information baffles me. Like, I've got no grasp on that.
I can imagine they can probably only lose money on Titanfall because it's only coming to a few
yeah. And platforms. Now they've delayed the 360 launch. So what does that say about it? And
but I actually don't agree. I think that game's going to make a ton of money.
You think so?
I think, yeah.
How?
Even I think with its somewhat limited release, just like only Xbox and.
No, I think it over the life of. I think this is going to be a huge, huge thing for them. They're drumming up so much buzz.
I see.
It's like every website you go to, including like CNET, is like, check out this gun you can use in Titanfall.
So it's going to be like the Gears of War. So they need like an indie rock band to have the music for the trailer with a giant robot looking at a flower blowing away in the wind or something.
Exactly.
I think you might be right, Jamie. Maybe it will be like an evergreen title for them.
I think it's going to make a lot of money. I think people are excited about it. People who don't play video games, I think, are going to be like, bro, you got to get Titanfall.
Titanfall? I certainly hope so.
Have I seen it?
That's just a meme on the internet. It's just, have you seen Titanfall?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. It's like, have you even seen Titanfall? You think next gen hasn't started yet? Have you seen Titanfall, bro? But yeah, Griffin, I really did enjoy that quite a bit. That was really fun.
Great.
I just feel bad answering all of them. I would love to do more of those and also music trivia because I love music in games.
I'll have to do some brainstorming about how I can actually do music trivia since it'll be almost impossible with the situation that we have right now.
Oh, yeah, because you have to... Yeah.
Hey, guys, go to this URL and listen to this song. Don't look at the title on YouTube.
Have your girlfriend navigate to this page. Put your laptop up to your ear while you're blindfolded. I'm actually excited for Titanfall. I watched Jeff Gerstmann play some Titanfall. I'll play Titanfall.
It looks fun. The question is,
will you buy a Xbox One for it?
No.
Okay. You'll play it on the PC?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't really like shooters at all. I was playing more Killzone multiplayer and I just did not like it at all.
See, I liked Unreal Tournament.
Wait. You're done with Killzone Mercenaries, Jeff?
I still have to finish the campaign. I have 2 missions left.
But
I'm not going to play the multiplayer anymore, probably.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. But anyway, were you looking for another game, Jamie, or are we moving on to the other stuff?
Oh, I was just talking about other stuff. I was just going to say that I used to play Unreal Tournament, and I loved Unreal Tournament, and I feel like we haven't had that type of twitchy shooter in a while, and this looks a lot like that. I mean, in Unreal Tournament, you jump really far, and it's really twitchy, and the maps are big, and this kind of looks like that.
Yeah, the actual alpha and the... I haven't seen the beta footage yet, but the alpha footage I watched looked, like, frenetic and fun. I can't navigate shooters. I get really flustered, and I, like, forget how to do all the analog sticks. And...
Well, the nice thing about a truly twitchy shooter is that if I play Call of Duty and I take... Or let's say, what was the game that launched on PS4 that was awful? What was that game?
Killzone.
Did you not like Resist?
I hated it. But if I play those games, Call of Duty or Killzone or whatever, and I walk out into a map and I die instantly, I'm like, oh man, that sucks. But if you play, I remember if you play Unreal Tournament and you walk out and you're just immediately killed, it doesn't matter because you spawn like instantly and then you just instantly kill someone else. And I feel like it's more conducive.
Is that true in Titanfall as well? You respawn like immediately?
I don't think so, but it approximates that more than other shooters.
I like that you can jump around a lot.
Maybe we should not talk about games that we haven't played or know very little about and talk about something that we do know about.
I watched an hour of it.
I know nothing about anything.
Oh, you've transcended.
Yeah. I'm like the Socrates.
You're the philosopher king of video games.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay, we can I guess move past Titanfall. But yeah, so did you watch it on Giant Bomb, Jamie?
Yeah, I watched it on Giant Bomb.
Oh, okay. Did they have a quick look up or what?
He went to some press event and he took his own footage of him playing.
I see.
And they have a thing up about that.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Griffin, you're going to buy an Xbox One so we don't have to?
Yeah, finally. The time is now.
Okay, good.
This is
they are in stores.
Yep. They sure are. Oh, my God, yeah. Just my own anecdotal, like, perusing of the retailers here. PlayStation 4s are out of stock. Xbox Ones are in stock.
Yeah, definitely.
So even in flyover states, that is still true.
Has that been your experience, Jamie? Or were you going to say something? Sorry.
I was just going to say that we should make a spinoff called Titian Fall after the Renaissance painter.
I think it would do just as well, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the Renaissance is just as bankable as giant robots.
I haven't checked in a while. So, but it seems like they're both, they've got a lot of buzz about them, both of them.
Yeah, they're both doing fine. I saw a couple Xbox Ones over at Best Buy in Portland, which is like the metropolis of Maine. So they seem to be available.
The East Coast Portland.
Yes, the East Coast Portland. And I finally got to actually play one, which is weird because every time I go to an Xbox terminal, there's just half of an Xbox One sticking out.
Yeah, what's up with that?
And no controller. There's a controller holder, but there's no controller in it. So I finally got to play, and the controller feels great. I was skeptical about its hand feel, but it feels really good. The only thing I will say is that the D-pad is definitely just there to switch weapons in a shooter.
Yeah.
They're like, don't even think about actually like D-padding with this thing. Like, don't try to move in a 2D platformer. Just stop it.
Just be happy we gave you this.
Yeah. Just be happy you can press the buttons individually.
Because
we didn't have
to. It still
to.
Feels exactly the same as a 360 controller to me when I've touched it.
Okay.
So
it feels a little better to me, I gotta say. And the D-pad is definitely a step up. I think the PS4 D-pad is a lot better, but it feels like a great controller in my opinion. So, but hey, when did you play it, Griffin?
Oh, I haven't. I just held the controller when I was at a store and navigated a menu. And I had the opposite interaction that you guys did, where it was like everything was there, but the screen was off. You know?
Oh, okay.
They're like, here's the system, except you can't actually interact with it. There's just going to be this scrolling montage of nonsense, and you can touch it.
That's dumb.
Have you ever actually asked like a Best Buy employee to turn on something like that? Because I have, and it's like you're asking them like a very difficult math question.
The last time I asked a Best Buy employee anything was 2007 when I was asking if they had any Wii's in stock.
Sometimes I'm like, hey, can you unlock that cabinet so I can get that thing out of it? And they're okay with that.
They have some Best Buys have like a really fancy like section in the back of the store called the Magnolia Home Theater section. Mm. Not every Best Buy has it. It's very exclusive. And in the Magnolia Home Theater section, they have really nice headphones. And I like headphones, so I usually go to the back and I try to listen to whatever they have. And often, like, no one even knows that place exists, so the display is, like, coming off the wall. Like,
oh, my God.
The headphones are like held up with chicken wire against the thing, and it's often off, and I'll tell the person, like, I'm interested in purchasing this. Can I please listen? And they're like, no.
Is it because they know you're not actually going to purchase it?
Well, I actually did buy a headphone from this Best Buy once, and the girl knew that, and she still couldn't turn it on. Requires fusion.
There's always the one Best Buy employee who actually like understands things, and they all either like look to that individual with like worship, or just think they're like a total asshole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king.
Pretty much. I got exactly one in my Best Buy store who like understands technology and clearly thinks the rest of the employees are just idiots.
Yeah.
And has like no problem saying so. And then everyone else just doesn't.
Best Buy to me has become basically a constant garage sale where I'm never going there to buy something new. It's always like, oh, what did they accidentally put on the discount rack this time?
I think I agree with you.
Yeah. They've gotten a little more competitive in their pricing. Their cables are still insane. You can still get your Monster cables for $50.
Nice.
Yep.
But they've gotten a little better, so.
They will sometimes match prices on specific things, I've heard.
Yeah, I think their new CEO has been doing some behind-the-scenes, like, attempts to make them a little more competitive. So I'm not surprised about the price matching. But yeah.
Can I talk about that game that I played on the computer?
Yes. Should segue the games we played.
That game that I played on the computer is called the Banner Saga.
Tell it's us one of the about games the Banner I Saga.
So the Banner Saga is... Did either of you guys play it?
I did.
I did not touch it.
How long did you play it for, Griff?
About 15 minutes when the menu opened up and it was like, this is a day cycle and you can recruit people and decisions matter. And it gave you all those like really brief tutorial bits. And then I was like, okay.
Did you get to the part where you realized it's Oregon Trail plus chess?
No, I didn't get that because that sounds great. I mean, I played the battle system and I thought it seemed really cool, like very, you know, XCOM and kind of tactics-y too. But then as soon as I played that too, I was like, oh shit, this means I'm going to lose Bighorn Battlebjorn and then I'm going to be sad. And this is a PC game and I'm not going to understand how to save things. So fuck me. I may as well just quit now.
Well, if a character dies, it's not permadeath.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
That character that dies in the very first battle, that's part of the story. That actually took me a couple tries to figure out too. I kept redoing the battle. Uh-huh. And then I realized that it was part of the story, and I was like, okay.
Wait, who dies in the first battle?
Bjorn.
It's actually not a character that you're controlling. It's a Varl, which is in the game there are humans and Varls. Varls are giants, and they have an uneasy alliance. And that's a Varl that you're not actually controlling, but I didn't know their names yet, so I thought I was. Mm. And he dies as part of the story in the very first battle. But I think that game has a lot to offer, especially if you, like you said, Griffin, if you start playing it and you like the battle system, I think that you're going to continue to like it. Mm-hmm. A problem that I am coming up against, and I'm maybe, rough estimate, I'm maybe 10 hours in, is that battle system does not change in the ways that I expect a video game to change. Hmm. One of the things you'll notice if you look at screenshots is on the board, there is never any terrain. Mm-hmm. Like there will never be anything in your way. The board is flat and divided into squares and you can go to every square. There's nothing there. So okay. It's just literally flat. And then the enemies, I've been playing for 10 hours. I've literally seen 3 enemy types.
Wow. So it sounds like the fundamentals they put them in and then everything else is kind of half-baked in terms of
No, I don't developing. Think it's half-baked at all. No, no, I think no. that it yeah. I think that it is designed for a very specific it just gets harder and harder and harder in the exact same way. Which for some people, I mean, if you like this battle and I do like this battle system, it can get really challenging. It's probably one of the most challenging games I've played. And in interesting ways, because this is what happens. You'll play a battle and then it'll go back into Oregon Trail mode. And it's like, you routed the enemy. You notice a few more rustling behind the trees at like the forest line. Do you want to go after them? And it'll tell you like, you have this many supplies and this many people. The enemy has this many supplies, this many people. And you know where you stand from the last battle. And you have to make the decision, like, do I want to push forward and maybe gain a few more rewards? Or do I want to hold back? And there's no penalty for holding back. There's no penalty even for trying and losing. It's just, like, it's really fascinating. And just like, it's like, how hard do you want it to be? Like, how long can you go without needing to heal up? And it gets really, really challenging. And I could see some people really liking the idea of like, I won the like actual story battle, then I pushed them back into forest, then I pushed them like back further into the sea, and then I pushed them back even further, and like I did crazy good that run. Mm-hmm. And so that's fun. The other thing that's fun is like you'll be trotting along in your caravan, and then it's like I don't know, crazy Johnny, who's been muttering to himself in the back of the caravan, decides to steal 3 sheep and runs off of a cliff. What do you do? And like you get things like that along the way. So and those things affect the combat, and it's really cool, I think.
How do supplies and sheep and the Oregon Trail, like accoutrement, how does that affect the actual gameplay of it?
So every time you're about to fight, mm-hmm. Every time it's about to send you into chess mode, it will actually, I believe it determines how many enemies to put on the board based on like the size of your ranks. So this, you don't literally have 500 fighters on the board. You have maybe 6 or 7, mm-hmm. as many as 10, I believe. But if you have 500 fighters in your caravan and there are 500 enemies, it will like evenly match you. Mm-hmm. So you'll have like, it'll be like 6-on-6.
Oh, so it's more like a rank. And
it's more like a, but here's the thing. So you'll be wandering along and then you'll see some
seamen
people. You'll see some people marauding a village, and you'll have to decide if you want to try to get these marauders into your ranks or not. And like, there will be stories surrounding this. Like some of your people in your party will be like, they're marauders, we don't want them. And you have to decide like, we do want them, we don't. And then you have to approach them, and then you have to negotiate them in like text trees. And then if you end up adding them to your ranks, that will make battles easier or harder. So that's the kind of, and with same with supplies. Like if you decide to add these marauders to your ranks, they'll come with supplies. So it's like that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
So if you have more supplies, it will scale the enemy's difficulty down?
No, supplies won't do that. Supplies literally just allow you to continue. Keep marching without starving. And when you start starving, people start dying. When people start dying, then you might be less evenly matched when it's time to fight.
Mm. Are you going to Oregon? Like, is there a destination?
You're going to Portland, Maine, actually.
there is a pretty solid story. That's played out. It's kind of like in two parts. You're playing as a mostly human bunch and a mostly Varl bunch, and the story's really good. And you do have a destination, but the story is kind of convoluted in that tactics-y way.
Okay, I like tactics convoluted stories.
Yeah.
You don't like tactics convoluted stories, Griffin?
I like tactics, but I'm totally aware that that's a bunch of garbage.
It's the best kind of garbage.
Nothing else needs to be like that garbage.
Let's all make the tactics death noise right now. Ah!
Whoa! There were three different yas. There was the boy yah, which is like, meh. There was the girl yah, which is like, meh. And then there was the monster yah, which is like, just so somebody playing around with the modulator.
So I'll describe the combat in 3 seconds, and you'll know if you'll like this game enough to play it. You have to line enemies up and then use combos which take advantage of the fact that they're lined up. So you will have to like hit an enemy in a certain way so that he falls back 2 tiles, which puts him in line with a couple other enemies. Then you use a move which takes advantage of that they're all in the same line.
Bejeweled?
It's Bejeweled.
Candy Crush Saga?
Yes. So it's an interesting game. I think that it could benefit from some variety, and I hope that they make a sequel that's maybe a little bit more exciting, a little bit faster paced, and maybe has a few more enemy types, maybe more varied maps.
Gotcha. So it sounds like, as you were saying, so the battle mechanics are like, they're fleshed out for what they are, but the actual like minute to minute got a little boring because you're just doing the same thing the whole time with it just getting harder.
Gotcha. And depending on how zealous you are, you're really doing it a lot. Like, I don't think the game necessarily wants me to do it as much as I'm doing, but like I said, when it asks me, do you want to push them back into the forest? I always say yes, even if I'm at a disadvantage. And so I'm fighting these battles and they just go on and on and on. It's like hours and hours. So
that's odd. That's so, a very strange design decision.
Is not the main selling point of Banner Saga the animation? Like, it has that classic Disney Dragon's Lair animation and kind of like that what do you call that? The Phantasmagoria, what is that movie?
Fantasia?
Fantasia, yeah. Like, has that like really old school Disney, like hyper animated, super smooth.
Yeah, it looks Jamie gorgeous takeover. and when you're you spend a lot of the game just talking to other characters, and when you talk to them, their mouths don't move. It's just text at the bottom of the screen, and you're basically just looking at a portrait of this character, and it speaks to the quality of the art that I never feel bored with that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, wow, this is so well drawn. Like, so it is really beautiful to see, and you see a lot of vistas. Like, when you're in Oregon Trail mode, it's literally like Oregon Trail. You have your caravan and you're kind of zoomed out and you're looking at the landscape and you're literally marching very slowly and that everything's scrolling by. It's just beautiful. So
are there a lot of hype or of discrete sexual imagery in some of the animation?
No.
What?
Is there not? Oh, can you not like Disney? See a booty in the line, a sex?
Oh,
word,
I see what you're saying.
A boner in the Ariel. You know.
Yeah, the Disney penises and yeah. Sexes.
I might put it on easy and just blaze through just for the story because it's really well written. It's really nuanced. There's like a very subtle racism going on between the giants and the humans who have to fight together because there's essentially this like robot scourge, like coating the land and burning all the cities. And I might do that. Very well written.
Awesome. You've increased my hype a little bit for it. Cause I didn't know much. I just knew Viking's story.
Well, get it while the saga's hot. They may have to change the name.
You didn't want to go there, Griffin. No. You just
didn't
took it
the,
there.
Did the Candy Crush guy say he wouldn't anymore?
He
wouldn't charges
no
or wouldn't bring a law?
I think he said that because there was something on NeoGAF today with someone getting upset about being sued. Or was it just against Banner Saga?
He made a statement. He said Banner. He specifically said the guy who made Candy Crush, Candy whatever, said, "I'm not going to pursue legal action against Banner Saga because it is significantly different from my game."
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So he's still doing it, just not against
Banner Saga.
Not against Banner Saga, because that pissed off the real gamers.
Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Jamie, are you playing anything else right now besides Sagas?
Yeah, I played 5 hours of what's that game, Jeff?
Bravely?
Yep.
How do you like it?
I think that game is fabulous.
Huh.
I like it very much as well.
That's like a 10 out of 10 game for me.
Awesome. I'm so glad you like it.
It does everything right. It's so charming. And that battle system is so deep.
Yeah, it's tough too. I'm playing it on
hard. It's tough.
But,
I got to a boss the other, when I was finishing up my 5 hours, I got to a boss and I did the little scan technique. I found out his weakness was Blizzard, right?
Yeah.
And that was the one spell that I hadn't bought. So I had to really think about how to go about it. And like, I feel like I really used the Brave and Default system. Like, I really thought about every move and I beat him by like a hair. And
yeah.
It was really awesome.
I found that in a lot of the boss, like, which one were you? How far are you? Are you to the? You're to the desert, I assume, right?
I just got the airship, so I'm not at the desert.
Oh, so you fought the knight?
Yeah.
Okay, is that the guy who was weak to Blizzard?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm a little bit farther than you, and I was doing a side quest, and, like, every boss was, like, skin in my teeth. Like, I was, like, burning all my ethers. Like, I was, like, trying really carefully not to use all my items because I knew I'd need them later. And every boss has been, like, utterly riveting. And like you said, like, you really have to, like, time your attacks perfectly, because sometimes if you're not careful... So, Griffin, one of the hooks in this game, I think you already know, is that you can either defer your turn... Mm-hmm. For later, and it actually buffs your defense if you do it.
You can and then brave or default.
Yeah, so if you default, it's kind of like defending and also like building up an action. Mm-hmm. So and you can also brave, which is like unleashing your attacks, but it lowers your defense. So
and then it also puts you in the hole, so you can't attack later.
So you can't attack. But the thing is, the enemies can also do it. So you have to constantly be on guard, because if you're fighting a hard boss and they brave like four times, they can just kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the most fascinating thing about the system, which none of the reviews really touched on, is the fact that you don't brave or default for your party. You brave or default per character. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to have certain characters basically operating on a different level. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I try to have certain, like, I hedge my braves with other characters defaulting. Uh-huh. And I think that that is such an interesting thing to think about, that it really does keep, like, every battle fresh.
Definitely, yeah. And depending on, like, how the boss behaves with braving and defaulting, you might have to adjust your strategy accordingly. Like, I fought a boss that was doing fixed damage. So, like, I didn't ever have to really worry about braving and defaulting. But then, like, I have a move that increases my attack, but only for one turn. So it's important that I have to build up three brave with that character in order to use all four of its attacks at once. So there's just a lot of, like, really interesting and situational stuff and, like, time-limited stuff that really, like, takes advantage of the system. And it seems like there's, like you said, Jamie, there's going to be a lot of interesting depth there.
It's also just, it's so fun to, yeah. In a lot of games, you'll do one move that will be a buff for yourself, and then you get to take advantage of that buff the next turn. And there's something so viscerally and immediately rewarding about braving so that you can, like, stack some buffs and then go crazy in the same move.
That's really
and
cool.
It's so much more fun than I would have thought.
I found, like, the writing is, or the localization is pretty decent. The voiceovers, I find Agnes to be a little annoying.
Yep.
Her voiceover is pretty bad. But the actual, like, words are, they're not bad. I was actually pretty impressed so far with the localization. I was laughing at some parts. It's charmingly done, and there's a lot of party chat, which was, like, one of my favorite things from like... Well, I didn't really play that much Tales, but it kind of reminds me of, like, FF9. But yeah, it's definitely ripped straight out of the Tales skit system.
I like that.
But they pop up all the time. The characters, I mean, you know, they're not the most incredible characters you've ever seen, but they don't feel utterly cookie cutter either.
So the one main complaint that I've been hearing over and over about this game from people that do like the system is that the baked into the video game design is the energy-based, free-to-play mobile game design of you have this small village that you need to operate and manage, and it is based on a real-time counter, and you need to allocate resources and individuals towards that, and this does play into the main game because it affords you items and upgrades and really critical pieces to the actual game, but it is done in that free-to-play model where it's like, hey, buy this crap to increase your time to get the next crap, but they don't even offer you that. Have you guys dug into that part yet, or has it been, you know, negatable in your experience?
I will let Jamie go first, because I know you were a little concerned about the areas where there are microtransactions. What do you think so far about that?
Well, I'm not very far, so where I am, I definitely haven't needed them. And I did get a little mad at the game when it first drew my attention to them, because it's not subtle. There's literally a separate tutorial where it's like, hey, you can just buy a win.
Yeah.
You can do that. And but keep in mind, you don't have to. And keep in mind that it's real money. So, you know, it's up to you, bro. And then I actually texted Jeff and I was like, oh my God. But Jeff said, don't worry about it. Just ignore it. And I have, and I haven't used it at all. And I don't plan on using it or paying attention to it at all.
Yeah. So the good thing, I agree with Jamie. The good thing about the, so there's two elements. One, there's the whole SP drink thing where you can pay money to like turn the tide of battle more or less. The good thing about that feature is that it was baked, or it wasn't built into the game. It was added in like an update, like 10 months later or something. So the game wasn't built around making you pay money to win battles. So it's not balanced for it at all. So if you have any skill at all, like if first of all, there's so many ways within the structure of the game, because you can change the difficulty on the fly. And also you can like decrease or increase the encounter rate to just get around that. But there is no reason you should have to give money to the game in order to live. It really does not incentivize it at all. But it does definitely hit you over the head in the beginning. It's like, hey, you can give us money if you want to. But yeah, that's the one piece. And then the piece you were talking about, Griffin, I hear funny noises. Who is that?
It's me. I'm looking at boxes.
Okay. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, the piece you were talking about, Griffin, is the whole town-building element, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that piece, I think, is pretty dumb. I will go ahead and say it.
Sorry, Jeff, I got distracted for a second. But is that piece mandatory, the town-building?
No. I personally actually have been trying... Okay, so because I played the demo, and there was like a glitch in the demo that gave you extra like villagers, I imported like 19 villagers, and every time you log online, they're just like, "Hey, take 4 villagers." Like if you go into the village, or if you go and you like update with the red dude, if you update your data, they're just like, "Hey, here's 4 villagers." So I have like 32 villagers, so I can do all the tasks really fast. But I have been purposely—I'm playing on the hardest difficulty, and I've been purposely avoiding that because I don't. I actually am afraid that if I get into that, it'll make the game too easy. it definitely does not feel like it's required to advance. It's just something that's there, and if you want to give yourself an advantage, you can mess around with it, but you really don't have to. And I would say the game would probably be better if it were omitted, but it doesn't really hurt it that much. Peoples? Hello?
Sorry, my power in part of my house just went out.
Oh shit! Yeah. Can you just step away?
No, because one router is working, so I'm literally trying to fix it while.
Nice. Talking.
Sorry, I was reading through the manual for The Last Remnant.
That's okay. Griffin, that's on my to playlist.
It is kind of on my to do a video list too.
Nice,
but. Okay, so you said you are not touching that stuff because you think it's going to make the game too easy because you're, yep. You know, you're like a god amongst video game men.
Well, no, I mean,
what difficulty?
No, that's me putting words not into your mouth, but just saying like for you, you enjoy the difficulty of those games and you like the competition and the difficulty. And for me, I like being overpowered. So I would immediately go to that village and start getting as many things as I could.
Yeah. So the reason I avoided it is because I actually listened to someone talking about it and they said they got an armor that kind of trivialized a little bit of the game.
That sounds great.
For me, I want to avoid that because I want the thrill. I want like really close win by a hair matches, and I've had a lot of them, and it's been really fun. But it's definitely there if you want it, and you do have to wait. But all you have to do is put your 3DS into sleep mode, and you know, or leave it running. You know, it is definitely a wait for reward system, but I would say it's mostly superfluous.
Okay.
And it doesn't screw the game up really. It's not something that they yanked out of the main game. It's just kind of something they just added in, kind of pretty much. That's how it feels to me anyway.
Interesting. Okay.
So, again, we'll update as we learn more. Sure. I'm only like maybe 8 hours in.
Yeah.
So,
Jamie, are you playing anything else besides Bravely Default?
I played half an hour of Jazz Punk.
Ah, tell me about Jazz Punk and how I can buy it.
Wait, have you played it, Griff?
No, I want to. I want to play it.
It's really good. It's really, really fun.
How do I buy that game? Is it on Steam?
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Yeah.
yeah. So oddly enough, I told Jeff this. I've only played half an hour, but I can already tell that like I'm gonna enjoy it.
You only got about an hour left, I hear.
It's only an hour and a half long.
It's about 2 hours.
Oh wow! It feels like so the level of design and the art makes me think of Jet Set Radio, but funny and like fun.
You're trying to tell me that Jet Set Radio was a little awkward to play?
Wait a second. Yep.
I love the writing. I love the everything they say is funny. Like everything that comes out of a character's mouth is funny. Everything you do is funny. Like I don't think I've laughed harder at a game than this. And it's because what happens is so ridiculous and it's completely out of your control. I won't spoil anything big for you guys, but I can tell you one little thing. I was just walking on a bridge and I walked up to a character and I just walked past him, and then he let out a Wilhelm scream and he and I like it looked like I threw him off the bridge, and I was like I was laughing so hard because I didn't press a button or anything. And not every character that you walk by does this, but you just walk by this one character and he screams and he gets thrown off. It's so funny.
How's Jim Sterling in it? I heard he has a role.
I don't think I've gotten to him yet, but okay. I have seen footage of his character and he sounds funny.
Okay. So. Yeah, I'm going to pick that up at some point. How much is it?
I got it for, it was on sale for 11.
Okay.
So probably 15 normally?
Yeah, 15 normally. Definitely, even if it's 2 hours long, it's worth it.
Is it more value than Burial at Sea is the question. How long was Burial? Like 30 minutes?
I didn't play Burial at Sea.
I heard it was 30 minutes.
The best way I've heard this game described is this is a funny video game designed by people who grew up playing the N64.
I think that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it harkens to that era. The levels feel like that. It's just like a little, they're like little sandboxes with a few things to do. It definitely feels like N64 level kind of design.
Hijinks.
Hijinks, exactly.
I'm looking at screens of it, and it just already looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does look fantastic. And it has a great sense of humor.
Oh, best opening sequence in any video game I've ever played.
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah.
It's $12. I'm adding it to my cart right now.
Okay, so not to dissuade anybody, but it is by an Adult Swim team, right?
Nothing wrong with that. Adult Swim is actually a very respected indie game publisher, believe it or not.
Okay, well, it's not respected by me.
okay. Some really like well-known dudes, like the dude who made Lone Survivor, his first game was published by Adult Swim.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, go on.
What? Tell me. Tell me about 1,000 Ways to Kill Yourself in the Office.
I don't know. Oh, I remember that one. Well, they're not all good. I mean, they're just a publisher. They're not a developer.
Right. No. It is, but this is an Adult Swim team that is involved with this. And that intro, that's why I bring it up, because it feels very Adult Swim, Jamie. Like, it's hyper stylized and super hot.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good. You will not be disappointed. And it oddly somehow, like, looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really nice just to look at.
Right.
So yeah, fun little game. I'm excited to finish it.
Yeah,
I'm entering.
The game looks like a Hawaiian shirt at a funeral.
It's so true. It's exactly right.
You just Tim Rogered that game.
Bam. Yeah.
Jamie, you know of Tim Roger, right? Tim Rogers, right?
Maybe.
This is our yearly Tim Rogers check-in.
He's the dude who wrote like walls of text for Kotaku about Japan and stuff.
I stopped looking at Kotaku.
Have you ever played the game God Hand?
This was before you stopped looking at it.
Have I ever played the game God Hand? No.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
You've sent me articles written by him from Kotaku, which is why I said the dude from Kotaku. He's known for other things now, but he used to write for... Oh, he still does occasionally.
What was the Bob's Game? Was that it?
Oh, God. He was friends with that dude.
He was besties with Bob. Him and Bob would do push-ups outside E3.
we're getting way too... This is we're getting into trivia again, where Jamie's just like, "What the fuck are you guys talking about?"
Wait! I have something to announce. There is Jeff. This is specifically for you.
Yeah.
I stumbled upon Pac-Man Champion Edition DX Plus on Steam for $5.
We have it on PS3 already, though. So what happened it was a title update.
Yeah, but ours isn't DX Plus; it's just DX.
No. We got a title update, which changed the name to DX Plus. It's like Bravely Default when Bravely Default became Bravely Default for the sequel.
Or you could have played it on 360 when it first came out.
Fuck that!
It was really good then.
Jamie and I had a rivalry going where we both ended up getting over 2 million points, but Jamie broke the top 100. And I was like just a hair's breadth behind him.
The reason why I broke the top 100, and there are 48,000 people ranked, the reason why I broke the top 100 is because I was studying for MCATs, and literally what I would do is I would study for an hour, and I would play 15 minutes of this. Study for an hour, play 15 minutes. It was all I would do for 3 months. So I became like extremely efficient at Pac-Man.
Yeah, at different times we would trade off. Like for a while I had it, and then Jamie took it back, and then like I stopped playing it for a long time afterwards.
And then I
randomly came back, and then managed to take it back, and then Jamie defended his title with aplomb.
Wow,
got it back. That was during MCAT's time.
That reminds me of Geometry Wars 2 days when I would be playing in my apartment. And then my friends who lived across the pool would be playing as well. And we would trade scores. And anytime anybody would beat the other one's scores, we'd just step outside and yell F-bombs at each other.
I feel like our rivalry was like good natured. I feel like I could go back and try to win at some point, and then Jamie would probably like take it back again. Like it wasn't it never got like angry. Like I don't know, I never felt mad.
There was no anger in this too. It was just like it was more of like the social experiment of I wonder what other people are thinking when these people are saying, "Hey, you fucking pacifist bitch," really loud at 12 o'clock at night.
I will say that score that you got, Jamie, is like I don't know how the hell you got it.
I don't know how I did it either. It's like
really impressive.
Game. I think I did it with an arcade stick.
Oh, for real? You did it with the stick? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ended up rolling. Like I would anticipate my moves, and it was easier to like roll into it with the stick.
Yeah, because you get the boost if you turn before you turn, you get a boost.
Just like I didn't even know that, man.
It's like Exhibit, basically.
Remember when we went to Barcade and I thought I set the high score on This Is Pac-Man, like my first try, but then they probably just unplug it every day?
Yeah.
So sad.
Well, what else have we been playing, Jamie. Besides... What was that? The last one?
Didn't you play Broken Age, Jamie, all the way through?
I did not.
What?
Okay.
I played some more today. I actually tried to finish it before we started, but I couldn't. I didn't get very far because I just look at the art for like a long time.
The art looks great. How far did you end up getting? Did you finish either story?
Nope.
Okay. So you're savoring it because those are not long stories.
No, I literally just stare at the art for very long periods of time, listening to the music. Like I have really really nice headphones for my. Computer and the sound is awesome.
Magnolia.
Also,
Magnolia.
Oh, this is not even. This is beyond Magnolia.
Do they still have Magnolia?
Do they still have 4K TVs in the Magnolia section playing After Earth?
They have 4K TVs in the normal section, and there's like really sad looking guys trying to sell you one.
Oh man,
really sad. I saw an 80-inch TV for like an 80-inch 1080p TV. I saw it for like. For like $1,500.
Yep. For 1080p?
Yeah.
Oh, for 80-inch though. I guess that's reasonable. That's pretty reasonable. Yep.
It's huge.
Yeah. But price wise, it's a decent price, I guess, if you wanted to buy an 80-inch television.
Yeah. Griff, did you play anything? Sorry, Jeff. What were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. I was just going to talk about how I want a bigger TV, but it's a will they, won't they kind of
thing. Pull the trigger.
Get the TV.
Throw in the bones.
Even Shannon's come around.
Okay.
She's watching it right now.
Nice.
Tell her no.
I'll have to smuggle it in again.
Shame.
I told Jessica that once I got a job, I would eventually buy a TV.
And the thing about having a smart TV is it's awesome. And you wouldn't think it would be, but it totally is. Like, I'll be watching a YouTube video. I'll be watching a YouTube video on my phone, and then I will literally like throw it to my TV. Like,
that's
literally.
You have an Android phone, right?
Yeah, I have an Android phone.
Yeah,
and it's awesome. Or like, I'll be doing something else. Like, I'll be on my laptop, and then I'll download a file on my laptop, and I won't have to do anything. It just shows up on my TV. It plays better on my TV than it does on VLC, because on VLC on my computer, videos tear. For some reason, when I beam them to my TV, they don't tear. Hmm. It's amazing. I play MKVs. I play AVIs. I play like everything on my TV. It understands everything. It does everything perfectly.
Huh.
Actually, you know what? Don't listen to me. Buy that TV with all the smart garbage involved with it, because you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, I'll probably just buy a bare bones TV. Jamie got a smart TV because it was like a Micro Center deal, where it ended up actually being cheaper than like a regular TV.
Oh yeah, much cheaper.
That whole concept of like coming into my house and throwing my video onto my TV sounds really cool, and that's what's like. I was like, I should buy an Apple TV because I'm an idiot, and and then I realized I'm an adult with a kid in the house, and you can't do that. There's never a point when you walk into your house and you're like, I'm just going to listen to some ambient music and then throw up this YouTube video that I've been watching on my commute home. No, that doesn't exist. So I was like, fuck this. This is retarded. I am done. I'm happy with my stupid, crappy, fine, big TV. Shut up, brain.
Can we talk more about the YouTube videos you watch on your commute home? Yeah. It's quite a balancing act.
While he crashes into car after car.
just ping-ponging all the way home, for sure, yeah. While I'm listening to Hatsune Miku, Genki Rockets, fucking Drunk Missiles. It's, yeah.
Drunk Missiles?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't know that one, but I know the others.
Genki Rockets?
I don't know Genki Rockets.
Okay.
Play them for me.
No, never.
Next music trivia.
Next, yeah. The answer is AKB4.
Isn't that AKB48?
Yeah, sorry. My mistake. Yeah.
Okay.
You outed me. I'm not a true...
They publicly shame them if they have relationships. It's kind of terrifying.
Yes, it is. Yep.
Oh my God, you guys. How excited are you for Friday?
What's Friday?
Last of Us DLC.
Oh yeah, Left Behind. Mm. It's the same name.
I'm really, really, really excited.
I'm pretty excited as well. I hope it ties into the Christian series of books.
What?
Do you know about Left Behind?
What?
It's about the rapture and the people that get left behind.
Why is that connected to The Last of Us?
Well, the name of the DLC is Left Behind.
Oh.
And there is a series of books called Left Behind about the rapture.
Oh man, I'm really excited.
I'm excited for less combat.
You didn't like it?
No, I love the combat, but I'm excited for less of it.
It's pronounced lay combat.
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh. I'm excited for a game that is a little less intense in terms of combat. I don't know why. Like my brain is too exhausted to handle combat at this moment. So I'm excited for that in this point in time. You know
what I
mean?
Too many Killzone mercenaries.
Pretty much.
You know, Jeff, I'm kind of in the exact same boat where I am kind of combat JRPG'd out.
Hmm. Well, those are two different things, but yes.
Well, speaking of which, you and I have been playing some backlog bullshit in the last month.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly, before we jump into the things that we both played, I'm just going to quickly run through a couple games that I finished, because I've been like really knocking them off. Yeah. So I finished Broken Age. We can talk more about that when Jamie finishes it.
I
also, yeah, I also finished Ni No Kuni.
Yay!
The ending that they kind of added to the DS ending is shitty. There's like an ending, and then there's another ending, and the second ending is dumb. I finished Metal Gear Rising. Hey, I like that game a lot, actually.
It's a good game, except for playing it.
I disagree. I like it a lot. I think the plot is ridiculous. I did very much enjoy the speech, because I just thought it was really funny and entertaining. Mm-hmm. And just fit so well with the rest of the game.
Very chemtrails.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Such third tower.
That's the name of a Beck song. Chemtrails.
It is. Yeah, so I really enjoyed it. Is that all I finished? I thought I finished another game, but I guess not. And then I also finished Nier, which we both played.
Yes, Nier.
You can go ahead and talk about that, because I don't think that anything you say will... Even if I know the ending, I think it'll probably like make me want to play it even more.
Okay, we can talk about.
I don't think
about...
there's anything to really spoil about the ending, though. Like, it's kind of spelled out to you from the beginning.
Sort of. I mean, I feel like the ending, like the ending twist, is not like the thing that is the most affecting in the game.
I think I might be too shallow to have actually enjoyed the ending twist, too.
Yeah, I think the ending twist was kind of interesting, and I guess maybe a little out of left field if you hadn't already read about it in advance. But the best parts of the game were like all the emotional shit that happens in the lead up to that.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, it's the journey; it's not the end point, which is kind of weird for like a JRPG. Well, no, it's probably par for the. Well, I don't know. JRPGs are done, and this kind of broke the mold in some strange ways. Where, like I was telling Jeff, I think the most appealing part of this game is just how much diversity there is in it. You know, it just does so many different things, and that's what makes it so cool in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like it. So one weird thing about this game, and which is for anyone who's listening, it's Nier for the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Nier.
Yes, Nier. It is a Cavia developed game. Cavia is a now defunct studio. Mm-hmm. They developed Drakengard. Anyway, it is, so it's Square Enix, it's like, it starts off kind of feeling like a typical, like, action JRPG, but then, as Griffin said, it kind of, you know something's up when the first, like, boss battle turns into a bullet hell game.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it just
when your
gets
boss
weirder
is like,
from
when
there.
The boss is, like, morphing and it's making like that, as different, like, blobs are filling the screen in patterns, and you're like, well, son of a bitch, look at this. This is
yeah, it's like a straight-up, like, action RPG melded with bullet hell, which is super weird. And then it also just, like, very liberally dips into other genres mm-hmm. and, like, has some very blatant homages. Like, there's a Majora's Mask homage, randomly. Yeah,
there's a very Zelda dungeon reference.
Yeah, and then there's a Resident Evil homage, which is, like, super, super cheesy, but also, like, kind of adorable for it.
So can I ask a question before you guys get more into it?
You
into
already
your description
did.
Of it? So how come when it came out, the critical reception was in certain cases like really, really negative? And there were critics saying like, oh, it's not player friendly in any way. And there are people saying that the story was ridiculous. And there were people saying that it just felt kind of like a bunch of mini games thrown together, like... What has changed since then?
I would say, okay, speaking to the reviews, there were a couple of things. I remember when it was released, there's one part of the game that a lot of people got hung up on, where randomly you have to fish, and this
that
is a stupid
not
thing.
A critical part of the game.
No, not at all. But this is a stupid thing, but people were getting really upset about it. So I just wanted to touch on it. You have to fish, and in fact, you just try to fish a couple times, and if you fail like three times, the game just catches the fish for you. But you have to fish in a part of the map that's different than the part where you get the rod, which is like not a big deal, but that apparently upset a lot of people. Something else, if you even like dip, like if you try to do all the side quests like you would in a normal RPG, you're probably going to have a bad time because they get boring. Otherwise, I don't know. It's not a very hostile game in my opinion. It's janky in places, and it's got one or two little quirks, but I don't. Well, it does not feel like it's fighting against me all the time.
Jeff, you had said, like, when I was first starting to play, you had mentioned something about, like, having some moments of kind of, like, a low-budget feel to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, low-budget, my goodness, look at these animations. And then the more and more I played, I was like, nope, that's 100% accurate. Like, there are some janky-ass things going on here, and it does feel, like, not half-baked, but it works within its own constraints of the game that it presents you to begin with, and sometimes that is for good, and sometimes that's for worse. So you know, it does a lot of cool things with the mechanics that it provides you, like with the bullet hell stuff and with your magic and with storytelling and narrative. But then it also just really falls flat on its own face with side quests and backtracking and kind of exploration in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it's one of those games that's easy to write off. And I think a lot of this guy's output would be easy to write off. But he's got a certain quality about him, which I kind of, when I was talking to Griffin, I was like, it kind of feels like 90s anime that was like in a lot of ways like really hokey and weird and kind of bad, but also like kind of amazing because it went to like some truly dark and really interesting unexplored places.
Yeah.
And I feel like this game has got that.
Yep.
It goes to some dark, some dark and otherwise unexplored places for sure.
Like butts. Like man butts.
Like butts. Yeah.
No, not enough man butts.
It paints the anus.
This is no Metal Gear Solid 4.
It sounds like something I would definitely be interested in that case. Is it like, so are we talking like existential dread? Are we talking nihilism? Like what? Are we talking FLCL or are we talking Evangelion?
Neither.
Neither. Okay.
More towards the Evangelion end of the spectrum, but.
Not up its own ass.
Not up its own ass, yeah.
It hasn't painted its own ass, no.
Yeah, more nihilistic, though, especially if you get to the second playthrough.
I would say it's more Cowboy Bebop, where it has a lot of characters who have a lot of depth and a lot of like unexplored emotional baggage that aren't typical in most media.
Gotcha. Yeah, but like... Again, without spoiling it, it definitely, like, the takeaway message, especially after finishing it the second time, is like, wow, like, I don't know how I feel about, like, what's happened in this world. I don't want to go too deep on it, but it's just like, it just goes to some really unpleasant places for, like, all the characters. No one has a good time.
Yeah.
Without going too far with that.
There is no happy ending.
Yeah. So in that way, it's very Evangelion. And just in its kind of in its worldview, it's got kind of a stark worldview. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, and it's also mounds and mounds of bullshit that's never explored. So, yeah.
Yes, and there is also biblical stuff. So Evangelion right there. Yeah. There's a little bit of biblical stuff.
Yep.
if you read the promotional materials that came out after the fact, there's even more amazing biblical stuff, like a chemical compound or like a medicine called Luciferase. <That's awesome. laughs> Which is possibly the greatest name for a medicine in the history of time.
Luciferase.
Well, speaking of Luciferase, I have been playing a video game today.
Oh, yeah? What game?
Final Fantasy Lightning Returns. Final Fantasy 13-3-Lightning comes back again to finish off the saga. Nova Crystallis Fabula Nova.
So how's that working out?
It's not a good game.
I'm really glad I didn't buy it.
I feel like such a tool.
You
fell in love
with it
so hard. What?
You gamefied it though, right?
I rented it.
Okay.
It's also, I have it on the way from Gamefly, but then I went to the store and I was like, I must play this.
So did you Redbox it?
No, I got it from the video game rental store that's nearby.
You have a video game rental store? Is it currently going out of business?
It's always. Yeah, it's right next to a laundromat that is just changing ownership by the minute.
Okay.
It's a front for a meth lab.
So Griffin,
yes.
So Griffin, when we talked about it last time, we both agreed the story was terrible.
We were both just very high on this game.
We both agreed the story was just the worst ever.
Can I butt in and say that you were both like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. So I tried the demo, and within 30 seconds of the demo, I was like, I can't do this. I can't play more than 30 seconds of this stupid, stupid game.
Wait, so hold on. So the story we all know is just the worst in the history of time. Is the battle system now bad, Griffin?
Well, I'm not positive, but this is probably just because I played a ton of Nier before I played this game. And now I'm playing this battle system. I'm like, oh, I can't fucking jump, really? I thought I could jump. I thought I could move. I thought I could dash and move around and have some freedom. And you don't. Like, I don't know if that was the case in the demo or if this is just me playing a ton of Nier and being, like, using that as my base point. But it just feels so tight and locked in. Like, I can't, like, it feels like I'm playing fucking Dragon Boner again. Like, I can't do anything because I'm just, I'm in that zone where there's no other options besides just look at this guy, press buttons as it happens. So if that is the case in the demo, sure. But the more I've been playing it, the more I'm kind of easing back into that. Like, okay, maybe when I get more outfits, I'll have more mobility. Because I remember in the demo, I liked playing as like the thief who could like backflip or something away and dodge. And now all I have is just like fucking shitty guard. It's like level one shitty guard, and that's all I have in my schemata.
Griffin, just fap.
Already on it.
Just fap. That's
I'm just
all
punching myself in the dick
game.
While I'm playing that game. Yeah.
That here, is all Motomu Toriyama wants you to do. Just make lightning your waifu.
This is this is the thing that I had no idea was the case. Like, I thought it was very Majora's Mask going into it. Like, oh, 13 hours to live, whatever, fake game clock. I play the flute, and then I go back in time and lose my coins, and I just fucking fight Snow again in the shitty ballroom nightclub. And yeah. No, that's not the case. It runs off a real-life clock where you are playing with time that's decreasing in game, and you can expend points to stop that, but it is set on a 13-day clock, and
that
if you don't
bizarre.
Beat it in 13 days, then you get booted back to New Game Plus.
That sounds absolutely bizarre.
Also, battling does not improve your skills. You have to do side quests.
That's what I heard, which is weird.
Which
it's
are
like
just
paper
fetch quests.
When Dale North of Destructoid gives a Japanese game a 7.5, you should never play that game. Because if he reviews a Japanese game, you should always subtract 5 from his score.
Yep. Well, he's the worst reviewer. I don't understand what his thought process is. I almost never agree with him.
But the thing is, like, I put the demo on, and I was telling Jeff this. I started playing it, and I thought the battle system was exciting, but maybe like just completely empty and just a lot of flash and no substance. Mm-hmm. And then, but I was like, whatever, I'll give it a shot. Then, like right away, you're faced with a merchant, and the merchant just looks like an asshole, and he's like got a stupid robe on, and he's like, buy from me and you might survive. And I was like, no, I can't play this game anymore.
If you're the true savior of this world, you'll need to stock up in my potions.
Can I tell you guys what an actual experience that happened to me in the car today while I was just driving to work, I think?
Okay.
I was just driving to work, and I was just thinking about Final Fantasy, and I was like, you know what, everyone in the world, Final Fantasy is over.
Yeah. It's true. It's over forever. We're going to get 10 HD, and then...
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got no more games they can HDify. We're never going to get a 7 or an 8 or a 9 HD.
No.
Even if we do, what does that even mean? It's just going to look like hotter trash than it already does.
Shut your mouth. Yeah.
The backgrounds are now brighter.
They will have to friggin' retcon Angeal into FF7, yes, which is the worst thing in the history of ever.
I'm like fucking Nero watching it burn. Yes, burn!
I'm actually excited to see that. Like, I'll play it for that.
You'll play it for Angeal? The friggin' worst character in the history?
It's the same reason why you would watch, like, a train crash. It's like...
It's like watching the friggin' Lucas edits of Star Wars.
Put more Benora apples into this.
God. Ugh. Yeah, so 15, I let it go on 15. I was like, you know what? Final Fantasy 15 is not a Final Fantasy game. It will never be what I want it to be. I made my peace.
Good. We have Bravely. We have Bravely Default.
We do have Bravely. Bravely is a good Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, it is literally a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Do you think that is like telling about the franchise that they're making a better Final Fantasy game without the Final Fantasy name attached to it?
It's also a different team, which has a better understanding of what made those games. I mean, they still are not, they're not really Final Fantasy games. They are like the best part of Final Fantasy V, like iterated upon in intriguing ways. They're not really, sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
I really do feel like I'm playing a Final Fantasy game when I play Bravely.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I feel like I'm playing more of a Final Fantasy game when I play Bravely than I am when I've played Final Fantasy 10 through the current ones.
I fully agree with you there. I don't think that it is. I don't feel like I'm playing an FF game, but I feel like they learned more from FF than the current developers of FF ever did.
Agreed.
I don't think that FF will ever come back. I think that it is dead. But I do think that Bravely Default is a good game to carry the torch after FF has kind of died out and no longer has that spirit.
I think that it's doing well, Bravely. It has a lot of buzz, and according to my extremely hyperbolic GameStop guy, they were completely sold out. I had to buy a code from him to download it.
Oh, wow.
And the only reason I did that is because I feel bad for him.
Did he make you feel guilty again?
He did make me feel guilty. He was like, everyone was refusing to pre-order, and now look at the situation you're in. And I was like, oh, man, you're right.
You were asking for it.
That's the thing that makes me never to go to GameStops, when they guilt you into not pre-ordering.
That's the worst.
Basically, yeah, it's awful.
I will never buy from GameStops when they do that.
I still have a Watch Dogs pre-order at GameStop that I really want to cancel, but I don't have the heart. So it just sits there in their system.
When is that game?
I think if
up?
You cancel, that means 100 Canadians get seppuku'd.
To answer your question, Jamie, I think Watch Dogs is coming out in spring summer?
2014.
Yeah. And then unannounced, or at a later date for the Wii U, because it's been quote unquote delayed, which is probably just a cancellation, honestly. Yep. Because
have you guys talked on a recent podcast about like the now extremely dire situation that Nintendo is in? Like, I know that we've been talking about it kind of constantly, but there's been, I feel like, recent news like in the last couple of weeks where it's been like, wow, they actually are like on the brink.
I think that's a great segue. Jeff, here's your soapbox. Take it away.
Okay. Yes, definitely. And that's kind of... So if there's a document that I sent you, Jamie, which has lots of Nintendo stuff in it. Before I do that, I'm just going to quickly touch on a couple other things that I played. TXK, crazy shooter for the Vita. You guys should try it. It's based off a really old game for like the Atari, and it's super weird and just bizarre, and it's worth trying out. It's very... It's got a kind of a weird sense of humor, and it looks super trippy. Also,
wait, what is it called?
TXK. It just came out yesterday.
On what?
On Vita. Check out some videos of it. I think you guys will enjoy it. You should try it out. And then Danganronpa, another crazy game that came out, feels very much like Virtue's Last Reward, Griffin. I'm not too far yet. You better play it. Play it, Griffin.
Don't you say those words to me.
Say that name.
Virtue's Last Reward.
No, the name of the game that you're...
Oh, Danganronpa.
Danganronpa.
It looks like it's going to be literally Virtue's Last Reward fused with Phoenix Wright. It's like they put on the fusion earrings and they turned into Gogeta.
Plus what that game for iPhone that's the Professor Layton Brothers knockoff, plus any other fucking Phoenix Wright knockoff.
It's really good. There's already a character who's hinting at their dark past. Just buy it.
What is that for PS Vita also?
Yes.
When did this Vita craziness happen?
There's so much Vita craziness happening. There have been a lot of announcements, which I feel like we should probably talk about Nintendo because we've been going for a while. But we should talk about Vita sometime because there's a lot of stuff coming up for
So wait, is there any other games that you've been playing? Because I've never heard of either of those games.
No. They both
wait, if you're playing this craziness, what other craziness can you be playing?
I'm not playing anything else. Those just came out yesterday, which is probably why you haven't heard of them. And they're very off the radar. But check the PlayStation Store.
Yeah.
They're both pretty cool. I would try them out. And on
is
the document...
Is Danganronpa called Trigger Happy
yes.
Havoc?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's you know, visual novel type game.
Dating sim.
A little bit of dating sim.
Yeah.
Are these both full price games?
Danganronpa is 40. TXK is on sale for $8 right now.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, it's too soon for me to say for sure on Danganronpa, but it's got the kids killing kids thing. They love having kids kill each other. I don't know why. Those 999 people.
The only thing that keeps me thinking that game is not a blatant ripoff is how much those trophies are referential to other 999 games.
Mm. It looks super cool. There's a
trophy called like 9 purses, 9 bananas, 9 bucks bombs or something. It's just like, oh man, you made that game, didn't you?
There's a talking bear who has hundreds of little robot versions of himself scattered around a scary school.
Very Persona. Yeah.
Yeah. Tells you to murder each other. Sounds awesome. Anyway, we can hop into Nintendo. So before we go any farther, Jamie, did you watch the Nintendo or did you read about the Nintendo presentation, the investor briefing?
I read that one of the biggest owners is one of the families is selling a large percentage of their stock.
Tell me about that. I actually didn't know about that.
Oh, really?
Which family is selling?
Like one of the founding families.
Fuck, yeah.
is selling like almost all of their stock. Nintendo had to buy it from them.
Oh my God.
And that happened actually already.
How much did that set them back?
Well, it was 19% or something of their total stock. So it's probably a huge amount of money.
Yeah. Holy crap. It is billions.
So all billions. That cash that they were sitting on, I mean, they're starting to hemorrhage it a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But I've heard some analysts say that is the right thing to do. Like you buy your stock back, you secure your rights to your decisions internally, like you batten down the hatches so that you are making the decisions, not the stockholders, and then you also increase the stock price for your shareholders.
Yeah, and given what I know about Iwata, he would very much want to resist. Like, I know that Microsoft has a lot of investors right now that are like, hey, you guys should spin off the Xbox and the Surface and Windows Phone. And they're pushing really hard, and Microsoft is like seriously considering that. And I know Iwata wants desperately to avoid that kind of thing. I think he really wants to hold on to control. I think they have their vision. I don't know if it's going to work for them, but they definitely want to kind of keep things going the way they are, which is a weird strategy. There was an investor briefing that Nintendo held recently in response to their huge loss.
Just to interrupt here, the stocks were bought from Hiroshi Yamauchi, who was the original Nintendo, you know, owner.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So his family bought back their stock.
They bought it out of the family. Yeah.
They sold it to Nintendo.
Gotcha. That is like a vote of no confidence.
Yep.
Because Yamauchi, he personally selected Iwata as his successor.
Wow. Huh.
That's very interesting. Okay, so yeah, so this might be in response to the investor briefing where, so Nintendo, you know, everyone's expecting, there's all this news circulating, you know, oh, Nintendo's going to put out smartphone demos, or I don't know, they're going to finally do shit on mobile, blah, 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 and in light of their huge loss. They did their briefing, they came out, they said, this is my summary of their briefing to the best of my recollection. We need to make more games that use the gamepad. No, we're not going to remove it.
No price cut.
No price cut. Let's use the NFC thing. we finally made DS Virtual Console happen, so please be excited for that. You know they're doing DS Virtual Console on the Wii, right, Jamie? On the Wii U?
I did not know that.
Okay. Well, they are.
But that's their big get. That's, you know, that's supposed to get the crowd cheering. That's their Titanfall. and then they talked a little bit about their, so after that, you know, really incredible showing and huge reversal in business strategy, they talked a little bit about their next console, and they basically said they paid lip service to the fact that, like, they want to have, like, an app store. Well, not an app store. They're like, well, we want to have, like, what iOS and Android have, where services follow you across devices. So, like, hey, maybe your purchases on your... like, maybe your Wii U knows that you bought games on your 3DS. And if you buy a new 3DS, maybe you can re-download your games.
Jesus Christ.
So basically stuff that, you know, has been happening for, for, like, upwards of 10 years. So that, they said that they alluded to the fact that their next console and handheld will be related, closer together, if not merged. And then they dropped this weird kind of little tidbit about how their next frontier is quality of life. And that means health products. And they had this amazing slide, which I wish I had just copied into the document, where it was a picture of a Nintendo 3DS, and then I think next on the list was like an iPod, and then next was like an iPhone, and then there was an arrow going from the 3DS past the iPod and the iPhone to another thing that said non-wearable.
Yes.
So apparently Nintendo is working on a piece of health technology that is, quote, non-wearable.
Going straight into your brain.
That they think will leapfrog, like, the iPhone and fitness devices.
Yep.
So, yeah, please to excite.
Exactly.
When you were watching this, were you crying?
So here's the thing.
Yes.
I have always thought that the only way that Nintendo would sell anything on the Wii U is if they capitalized on its strengths. I do not think that they would benefit at all from getting rid of the gamepad. I don't think that a $200 console with the horsepower that the Wii U has would really set the world on fire. So I think that it's good that they didn't back away from that. I think the easy kind of investor pleasing approach is to do that. I think it's better for them to keep it in the picture, though. So I actually do think it's better. I think that their presentation came off as, like, inept, because they have nothing. They don't have games. They have, you know, their first half of the year is Tropical Freeze and Mario Kart, as far as I know. You know, there's a direct tomorrow at 5:00, so maybe they'll announce something then. But it's looking real bad.
Yeah.
But I, in some ways, I am glad as a gamer, as a Nintendo fan, that they kind of stuck to their guns on the gamepad, because that's the innovation. That's all they got, really, in my opinion. So,
I was going to say, I'm glad as a gamer that they're going to just sink onto this, or they're going to stick with this sinking ship.
What's that, Griffin? Sinking ship?
Yeah, I said that I think that I'm happy as a gamer that they're sticking to their guns and they're going to stay on this sinking ship. And if that means that Nintendo dies, then fine. Like, let's see what happens. At least that'll shake things up somewhat.
Interesting.
I think that
because they won't go away. It's just they're going to retool and it'll be more interesting.
Yeah, this was not a retooling.
No.
Go ahead, Jamie. You were going to say something.
I feel like no matter what they do, they could bring a better, newer, shinier version of Titanfall to the Wii U, and like literally nothing they will do will save that console. I feel like they need to dump it.
Mm-hmm. No.
Please don't. I think you're right, Jamie. I think it's going to have a shorter generation, and they kind of indicated that because they said they dumped like an additional, you know, 80 zillion yen into research and development or something like that. So they're definitely expediting that that process. So that is one thing.
The Nintendo
Steam Box. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there any strategy that you guys can think of for them that doesn't have like a long term damaging effect on them? Like, I think if they got out of the for example, if they decide to become like a third party publisher, I think that's going to hurt them. If you look at the state of
course,
Sega,
it's going to hurt them.
Sega's doing so much worse now than they were even when the Dreamcast was like there.
Right.
So like, what path exists for them?
They can release what's called the Super Wii U 64, and it's a Wii, a Nintendo 64, and a Super Nintendo duct taped together.
Uh-huh.
And I think that people would go for that.
Did you get this idea from NeoGAF?
No, I didn't.
It sounds like a NeoGAF type idea.
Super Wii U Duck Hunt.
I can imagine somebody on that forum being like, this is what Nintendo really needs.
Did they say anything about selling mobile games?
Yes, they did. Sorry, I forgot to put that in my notes. They said, okay, they said we're not going to put Mario on mobile. You know, that was their first like reassurance to people who are worried about that or whatever. They said they are going to have Yeah, they're going to have like mobile experiences that are designed to steer people into Nintendo platforms.
So hentai.
Pretty much, yeah. Like
so
Super Nintendo
Dragon
Rate
Dildos.
Peach. Yeah. They said that they weren't like limiting developers in what they did. So the implication was that they weren't really going to be like games or like full games. But they would have like a little bit of a budget to them, but they are not going to put like Virtual Console on mobile phones because that would be too intelligent.
Would it though? I don't think it would be.
You don't think Virtual Console would be okay on a mobile phone?
No.
Look at how hot emulators are though.
Hot.
How hot are emulators?
They're pretty hot.
People love playing Super Nintendo games on their shitty ass Android phone. I have no idea why.
People on the internet love playing shitty ass shit on their shit. But in real life, that's really not what people are into.
No, but like the top apps, like on the App Store, like I know for a long ass time, at least on the
Google Play.
Most
people are still into smoking a ton of weed and playing their Xbox 360.
I know, but hear me out. I know for a long ass time on Google Play, there was a Super Nintendo emulator in the top 10 paid apps. So people will pay money to play old games on their shitty ass phone, and I don't know why.
But that's not a good decision for Nintendo. Like, if you devalue your property by putting it on some piece of shit where you're not able to control the input and you're not able to control that whole, you know, brand and what defines Mario, like, yeah, you can probably blow it up for a bit, make some fat cash quickly, but then just like what is already happening, what happens to Mario, you know, in a year, you know, it's you've exhausted it, it's dead. Like, every schlub who's like, oh, remember Mario? I'll play it on the touchscreen. Oh, this feels wrong. Oh, wait, it just must be me. I'm bad at the Mario. Fuck this game. You know, you've lost those people.
But what Jeff said, they're not going to put Mario on. And like, take Square for example. Like, I just checked on the Android store alone. I can't speak for the Apple store, but Final Fantasy VI came out for both Apple and Android.
It's killing it right now.
It's over 10,000 sold, and it's $16.
And can I say this? Number 27 on top paid is Super GNES. Super Nintendo emulator for $4.
So I feel like Nintendo needs money, and they can use the money to make the real stuff.
No, Nintendo is already no.
No,
because one, Nintendo does not need the money, and two, if you're going to go that route of like let's whore out, like if the whore is already whoring out its properties, how much more whoring can it do to get money from its properties?
I'm not saying I'm saying like new properties,
whores.
like Princess Peach's cooking extravaganza will come out on iPhone and Android, you know.
I think I'm not sure. See, here's what I would say. I hear what you're saying, Griffin, about like worrying about kind of like overexposure and that kind of stuff.
It's already happening.
But that's why I think that they would do no harm if they only specifically cultivated stuff that would work on mobile from their older collection. I don't want them to devote any significant amount of resources to new development on mobile. But I don't think it would hurt them very much to put like Super Mario Brothers for the friggin' Nintendo on mobile phones, because that game is already proliferated everywhere and it's free in a lot of places if you just download the ROM. The thing is, it's already on the Android. Like, it's already on Android devices being played. So why not offer an official venue to purchase it?
You know, why not? Because, okay, so why is it wrong with Android? Because Android is such a diverse marketplace. So how do you... What defines Mario? It's controls. So when you have a diversity of platforms that are able to interact with Android devices and Android handheld things, like how are you able to regulate how that game plays? If you were able to design an Android app that plays Mario, then if I'm playing on my Google Galaxy Boogle Buggle, and if I'm also playing it on my Banana Boxer Nexus 55,000, you know, how that is always the problem with Android. It's a wild west of what controls how. But, and if you do that, you send that out there, you have that one blast, you say, oh, hey, Mario fans, check this out. This is great. And then they do. Oh, shit, I'm not good at Mario anymore. I'll just keep playing that Flappy Bird.
I do think that Mario is maybe a poor candidate, but what about like WarioWare? Like, why not put friggin', you know, GBA WarioWare
the
on there?
People don't care about WarioWare.
Oh, but people will, I think, if it's a good game. I mean, it can catch fire. But I think Jeff's point is well taken about the fact that people are already doing it. So like, it's what you're saying, Griffin, is very true. Like, it could potentially be a disaster, and you could potentially turn people off. But people are already doing it. So it's like, why shouldn't they try to make money?
So you're essentially saying that Nintendo is allocating their people are already doing it resources towards YouTube incorrectly, and they should be focusing it more on Android and mobile devices.
I was saying what Jeff was saying about how people are already playing these emulators.
I guess the difference between the YouTube thing is what it demonstrates when people are doing it there is that the market exists.
Right.
So there is a need, you know, people want to play games. So let's say Nintendo offers an experience. Maybe they skip Android. Maybe they just go the iOS route. Frankly, there's more money to be made there anyway. So let's say they go the iOS route. You know, you've got three devices to target, or maybe even two devices. I don't know. And then they just selectively port, you know, let's say, I don't know, Balloon Flight or something. They bring that over. They're like, hey, fart. Balloon Flight.
More like Balloon Fart.
Whatever. It's, you know, one of their old properties, low risk. They're like, hey, check it out. You know, now you can play this one button game that was always a one button game on the iOS. And instead of pressing the one button, you like tap the screen or something. I don't know.
It sounds like Griffin is just getting really shit faced.
he's drinking to the death of Nintendo.
We're like, Nintendo, don't. Me, am I right?
It does kind of pain me to like suggest that Nintendo do the mobile thing, but I just like I don't know what they do to pick it back up again, because the third parties, I don't think they're coming back anytime soon.
Here's my solution: it's wait out the storm, like they are fully equipped to do, and they've done before. And if the situation suits them best, do it. Learn from the past. Look at the consoles that of the last generation and say, hey, you know what worked really well? Matching platform specs, embracing third party and indie, and then also using all that to garner internal resources and project our image as only we can do as Nintendo, whilst using these things to create the opportunity to do so. Like, I think Nintendo is in this very unique opportunity, or unique, like, it's the blue ocean bullshit of where if they get enough money, they can do their own thing, and they already have enough. But right now, it's, you know, you have these competing consoles that are like these looming behemoths on the horizon of their beautiful ocean. And I think that their best choice coming up is to try and match that. Like, no longer are they going to bottle the lightning of finding that grandma system that fits into every household and do that Wii Play thing or Wii Sports. Like, they need to embrace what gamers are about and do it just as well, and then interject that Nintendo special sauce into it.
I don't know if there's like a place for that anymore, though. Like, I don't know. Like,
but
I don't.
Is. Like, how can you say that? You're already a part of it.
But what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm not sure because it's just so expensive, and frankly, I don't even know if it's cost effective for Microsoft and the Sony. But it, like, I don't know if Nintendo has the resources or like the influence anymore to compete with like the PS4 or
Nintendo
the PS5
has more resources
whatever.
Than Sony.
I mean, they have more cash, but they're a smaller company, aren't they? I don't even know. Or maybe they're a bigger company.
They're not as widespread with different, you know, departments, but they are. They could buy Sony if need be.
I can't speak to their financials, but
I think it's like 18 billion at least.
I think what Jeff's trying to say is like, and that the point that I was trying to make earlier is that, like, who knows where video games will be in 5 years when they do release their new whatever they're going to do, if they were to wait it out like you're suggesting they do, Griffin.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they don't have a clue now, so it's like, I'm so worried that what they come up with will be so wrong for the time.
I think the problem is they're so far behind that it'd be really hard to catch up. And
why do you say that? Like, they're so far behind.
Well, look at their online infrastructure. I mean, it's a joke, you know? Like, they just, I mean, look, there's some things that Nintendo does, obviously, that no one else does. And that's like the best part of them. You know, they make games that are just pure fun. Mm-hmm. They've made some of my favorite games of all time. But look at the state of the Wii U. I mean, it's basically almost on par with the 360 and the PS3 in terms of graphics. Well, it's on par or better in terms of graphics. CPU is a little worse. The infrastructure is undoubtedly worse. It's just like they're at a point in terms of like the arms race where their competitors were 6 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's like the scariest part. It's like they could wait it out, and maybe they'll come up with a great idea later. But it feels like they're just grasping at straws, and they're sticking to a plan that's not working, and everything kind of spells disaster.
The problem is the blue, like, for the blue ocean to work, like, okay, so the Wii, obviously, unbelievable success. Yeah, it fizzled out after 4 years, but a huge success. So the problem is the GameCube, not so hot. The Wii U, really bad. You know, before that, N64, okay.
I think Wii U or N64 was pretty damn bad, too.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. I don't know sales on that one, so I'm not sure. But certainly not up to potential. So they're not really batting that well right now. I mean, yes, the Wii U, they're coming off the heels of one of the greatest successes they've ever had. But I think this Blue Ocean thing is very risky, and I'm not sure they have anywhere left to explore, I guess. I guess the only way I could see Nintendo doing well? Is there some kind of like apocalyptic event occurred where like people like game budgets get so big that companies start imploding and like there's just the landscape for next gen is just completely barren because nobody can afford to develop games there anymore. That then I could see Nintendo resurgent, like having a resurgence and getting the third parties back. But as it stands right now, nobody wants to play with them.
Right, but and then also it's their PC will always be the cockroach surviving that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, PC is kind of its own place where with its own set of rules for sure. But like, I feel like Nintendo could, in my mind, Nintendo could only benefit if what I predicted a couple years ago pans out, where game development budgets just get out of control and like these consoles crash and like implode. I don't necessarily think that will happen, but I don't know. Somebody else say something.
I pretty much agree with you, Jeff. But I also think that if Nintendo did what Griffin is saying, they could miraculously just somehow persist indefinitely. Like they could just continue like coming out with their like. Like, what's their current batting average? Is it like 1-for-4? Like, they could totally just keep doing that and just have their rabid fans and have their really strong portables and just like bat 1-for-4 on consoles forever. And that would be the end of it. I don't know. Like, it's hard with the 3DS doing so well. Mm-hmm. It's hard to really imagine them turning completely away from the having their own proprietary devices.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't meet sales targets, but it still sold like 14 million.
Yeah.
So.
And people, I mean, people are excited about 3DS games. Like, I have friends who are buying the 3DS who don't have other consoles.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about the 3DS, though, is that the third-party situation is not nearly as good as it was on the DS. I do think that just in spite of all the successes they've seen, they've had a lot of first-party output. I do think that there are some worrying signs with the 3DS, I will be honest. But I do agree, Jamie, given how well it's doing, I don't see them exiting proprietary hardware. Lack of third-party support. They've got Capcom, Square Enix, and I can't name any other major third-party studios that are supporting them.
Yeah.
There's a curious lack of, like, My Most Beautiful Pony games.
Well, I think the shovelware, I think, is the mark of a successful system.
Exactly.
Honestly.
No, I meant – that's what I meant. Like,
yeah.
I meant that seriously. Like, when I would go into Toys R Us, like, 5 years ago, and I would look at the DS offerings, I'd just be blown away. Like, everyone and their mother is trying to make a buck on this thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be the same way anymore.
No.
But is that a mark of Nintendo, or is that a mark of the games industry as a whole? Like that,
or maybe they're just moved on to mobile.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you can't define a system by it having a bunch of games associated with it anymore, because that was that flash in the pan, like Wii U, you know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, kind of. Like just everybody shovel all that shit on the fire and watch it burn and make money off it, but
yeah,
give no thought to it.
Well, I think the sign with the 3DS and obviously the Wii U is that with the Wii and the DS, like that shovelware was so abundant because that was like the thing of the moment. Like everyone was really into it. Like all the people who normally maybe weren't involved with games as much were like devoting a lot of resources. That was like the heyday for Nintendo. And that's when all the third parties were there. Now they've all kind of moved on to mobile, as Jamie, I think, said, or maybe Griffin said it. It's just a different landscape. And I there's not really any major American publishers supporting the 3DS. Like, I don't know any EA games coming to it. I don't know any Activision titles.
I feel like that's less a function of the that's less a function of the system and more a function of those companies that you mentioned. I feel like those companies have gone all in on AAA games for the current gen systems or the latest gen systems. Right. That's all they know how to do.
They've gone top and bottom. It's gone fully into AAA, and then it's gone all the way into free-ass mobile garbage.
That's like true.
Farmville nonsenses.
You guys are completely right, yeah. No, you're right, and those companies may implode. I mean, look, you know, in 10 years, maybe EA and Activision are ghosts of themselves, or they're gone. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just a little worried because there have been so many great 3DS games this year, but you know what? Almost all of them were published by Nintendo or Capcom or Squeenix. I mean, that's the three publishers that I think are making most of the output on the 3DS. I guess Atlas as well.
Did they sell 2DSs? Do we know about that?
They did sell 2DSs.
Yeah, I think, that's a great question.
I believe they sold maybe 2 million. They sold a lot.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So oh they did God. All right. Yeah.
Wow.
They did not sell one to me, though. Not yet.
What? Failure.
So maybe, you know what? Maybe it's a good sign that they go into their silly little press conference after their massive losses and they just start spouting crazy ass bullshit because that's the same thing that they've always done and it's probably going to somehow be okay. Like, maybe they end up putting some strange medical device in every goddamn hospital bed in the U.S. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that's just as likely as the 2DS selling 2 million.
Yeah.
Jamie, what was my PlayStation 3 advice to you?
Just let it go.
Just let it go.
Okay, so I think that Nintendo has a very similar marketing standpoint in terms of the prognostications for the future. It's just like, just go with it.
I would be interested to look into their history and see if this has ever happened before, like if a big investor has ever been like, you know what, fuck it, and dumped like a ton of their stock. And I'd be curious to see how they reacted in the past, if there's ever been a situation like this.
Yeah, there's a real dearth of that kind of reporting. One person I would recommend, Jamie, whom I read from time to time, Emily Rogers, I think her name is, something like that. I'll send her to you later.
Okay.
She does some real like investigative stuff about Nintendo. She'll give you like their financials and like their board member drama history. It's really cool. You should check it out.
Interesting.
But yeah, I predict another loss for them next year.
I'm basically just wondering if this is new territory for them, like if this is a new low, or right. if in their minds this is just they're just riding the waves.
Right.
Like, this has happened before.
I think this is a big deal. They don't make losses usually.
when I say just like it'll be fine, do the base level, like whatever, survive, and then do the next big thing. Like it's only because that's the opposite of actually what I want. Like I think that is the most sane thing to do, but I would really like them to do a bunch of dumb shit and try and just like make the worst decisions possible and see them like die. Not because I hate Nintendo, but I just want to see things shake up so immensely in the games industry. Like, I want to be aware of things like when Sega died. Like, I want to be aware of that.
You want to be like, I remember the day that,
yes.
that Nintendo died?
Yeah, because I don't remember the day Sega. I want to be there, man. Be like, when I was your age, Nintendo sold all their shares and they were printing pictures of Doge on their boxes. Nobody knew it was like, you don't even know what Doge is, you stupid kid.
They just need another controller that's like shaped like something funny.
Guys, my
it's
pizza
a frozen banana.
Your pizza's here?
My pizza's here.
Did you throw
in
the bones?
I didn't throw in the bones. I didn't throw in the bones. I threw in the Cinestics.
Okay, that's legit. That is a Vega variant alternative.
It is. So actually you two kids continue, but I'm gonna duck out.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I love you guys. I'll talk
Thanks
to you
for
later.
Coming on, Jamie.
Yeah,
no
thank
problem.
You.
Awesome conversation.
Definitely.
Adios, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Nintendo.
Bye.
Don't say that to me.
What? Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where they go from here, because it's definitely. I do think it's new for them. I think it's a new place. You still there, Griff?
I am here, and
okay.
I am ready to listen to the next. A bit of soothsaying you have for us.
Okay, we can. I mean, I have a huge write up here at the bottom that we should maybe touch on. We've been going for a while.
Right, 2 hours. Go
yeah,
for it.
Okay, all right. So I guess kind of going further on this whole thing that we were talking about. So we kind of touched on Nintendo a lot, but it seems like right now for whatever reason, it's just kind of shaking out that it's like a major transition time for all three of the big console makers. You've got Microsoft kind of going through this major corporate restructuring. They just announced their new CEO, Satya Nadella, and they brought over the Nokia guy, Stephen Elop. He's now in charge of devices and services, I think is the name of that. Do you remember? Yeah. He's noteworthy because he said that he would spin off the Xbox line.
Yes. He was also approached a while ago saying, hey, are you going to work with Microsoft? And he's like, nope.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole. He strikes me as a super dick. But again, who knows how long he's going to be the head of devices and services, and who knows how much of an influence he has on the Xbox. It's hard to say. But major shakeup over there at Microsoft. So, I mean, the question is obviously what effects this has on the Xbox. I mean, do you have any like reactions to the corporate shuffling, Griffin?
No, I'm excited.
You're excited? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
That's about it. You know, there has been really nothing said about this except for the transitions into power. This undoubtedly will change things up going forward. The only thing that really I have to say is, oh my God, I can't wait for E3 this year. Like, I am super pumped to see Elop take the stage and do some, you know, hair flips and whatnot during the press conference.
Make a call on his friggin' Nokia icon.
Yeah, bring the taco back. I can't wait. But I'm not ready to make any projections, positive or negative, onto what's going to be happening with this, because it's way too early, you know? And I think even the people that are going into power view it as, this is way too early. Like, we're going to stick with the game plan. What can we do? So let's just stick with what we have.
I agree. I do think they'll kind of be the one to watch for changes in strategy, because I do think that, obviously, they had a pretty good launch. I mean, you know, you can't argue with, you know, selling however, you know, 4 million or whatever they sold. They sold less than the PS4, which is clearly not what they wanted. Hmm. You know, a lot of negative buzz on the hardcore forums, some negative buzz among the mainstream. You know, you just had the New York Times just put out something that said the PS4 was better, although it said they were both dinosaurs and mobile was encroaching on them, but whatever. So I think they're the ones to watch. I think this big shakeup will do something. I hope that they don't spin off the Xbox, because even though I'm not really an Xbox guy, I do think the world would be worse with an Xbox that doesn't have the force of Microsoft behind it.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. They've been kind of dropping hints that they're going to kind of address some things. So it's going to be an interesting time. Lots of talk of updates and addressing experiences and stuff. And, you know, if they mess around with Windows 8, I mean, that's necessarily going to affect the Xbox, because it's running some version of Windows 8. So that'll be interesting. And then the other thing that I mentioned in here is that, you know, the last of the big three, Sony, is also kind of going through its own transitional phase. And I think they just reported their losses for the year, their financials for the year, and they had an increase, I think, in revenue across certain sectors, a huge boost in gaming revenue due to the PS4. I think it was 60% increase, but still a huge loss. They axed their PC business altogether. Mm-hmm. They have spun off their TV business. And I think Moody's, the credit rating agency, just downgraded their debt to junk status, which is not a good place to be in at all. And it's interesting that the cracks don't show more. I would expect that a company with a debt that is rated a junk status would like make it obvious in their day to day. But it just doesn't really show. And it doesn't even show up on people's radars when they're talking about, you know, console wars and stuff. But it's kind of alarming. Just how huge Sony's debt is and what a predicament they are in financially, even though like the PS4 had a really successful launch.
Yeah.
So that's like another weird kind of transitional time for them. I mean, the thing that they're doing to kind of respond to this is, in addition to kind of cutting off some of the fat here, they're also cutting 5,000 jobs, which is pretty significant.
Yeah, well, that comes along with all their closures of the different realms of Sony.
Yeah, I don't think they're touching like the games division, but it's just it's weird to think of like Sony and Microsoft, especially in the context of these kind of larger corporations, because all we ever think about is like the gaming side of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But like they're these big things, and like Microsoft is doing okay. You know, they're very solid financially. Sony has a major debt problem. I just wonder how these things are going to influence, you know, what happens to the games we're going to play next year. And I think it's just they're going to be interesting to watch because the financial pressure that these companies are facing is like immense. Right. And I don't know. It's endlessly interesting to me just like seeing all of them, you know, come into the new year, kind of mixing things up, changing things around. Arguably Nintendo, which suffered maybe the most, is doing the least to address their problems. But
yeah. And that's why I think I have so much ire with what the projections are right now, because I think that with the systems that are out there, we're not going to see any changes, you know, with the companies as they exist at the moment. And as you're saying, like with the games they're going to put out next year, like those games have been in development for the last 2 years already. So
yeah,
they will come out, and there will be games that come out after that. And after that, and 2016, we'll be seeing games. But with the console shift, I think that like that may be the doomsday, you know, horrors that everybody is imagining right now. Like, oh my gosh, the Nintendo is gonna die. But you know, not yet.
Yeah, it's no, just, not yet.
It's silly to even think about that at the moment. Because it's so far off, and there will be awesome games coming out, and there will always be games coming out. It's just, it's too far off at the moment to even speculate what can actually happen, because there are so many things that can go in either direction for any company.
Yeah, I will say, though, I mean, Sony's had this debt problem for a really long time, and they've been trying to address it. And like Microsoft, you know, this instability and this kind of weirdness with Windows 8, like a lot of these things have been developing for quite a while. So it's just interesting to see. I think you're right, Griffin, that it's not going to affect the games we get to play this year necessarily. It may affect like the mission, and it may affect some of the firmware stuff. It may affect some of the kind of the corporate strategy. I don't think it's going to, you know, delay Titanfall or something, but it I think it's interesting to think about the big
picture.
Will
we get a Titanfall 3 or 4?
The answer is undoubtedly yes.
Oh, okay. But I was going to say unknown.
Well, certainly Titanfall 2. That's probably already in the pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, yeah. So yes, it's not going to make Titanfall not come out this year. I do think it's interesting to think every once in a while about the big picture, because you know, especially with the generational shift happening, you know, now it's like, what does this mean, and how is this like? How do these two things feed each other? Like Sony's getting leaner, and it's kind of represented, in fact, in the approach they took to their new console design. And like, what does that mean? I don't know. I just wonder, like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it. And I guess you're right that it's way too early to weigh in. But
right, I just think that there's, you know, we can look at the corporate maneuverings and whatever of these giant barges, but Will we be able to tell the course of where they're going by these minuscule operations happening? Like, no, I don't think so. I think that you know, the fearfulness and the like the tabloid grasping at straws of Nintendo is dead because the Wii U hasn't sold anything. Like, yes, there is some truth in that, and that's why that's why the people click on that shit. But there is no real sanity in analyzing this stuff at the moment. You know, it's better to kind of just wait and let's see what happens. And, you know, we can guess and we can read the drip feed websites with the things that come out in the NeoGAF with the rumors that happen. But what's the real point? Like, we're not going to be able to predict anything.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can say with certainty is that the Wii U will not recover. That I can say. Like, I'm Nostradamusing that right now. The Wii U will never be a roaring success, and it will never get the third parties back. But maybe it'll have some great third party, first party output. I hope so, because I own one.
Well, I think it already does have some first, some great first party output. You know,
some. Yeah, it does have some. I want it to have some more.
Yeah,
but yes, it definitely has some. I love Mario 3D World. I liked Wonderful 101.
I think the most damning thing for the Wii U is the fact that they are releasing Smash Bros. As a 3DS and Wii U game.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I mean, also, but you're right. And I think as someone else was saying this online, it's like, where do you go if you want the new Zelda game? You go to 3DS because the Wii U has the port of the old one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said for Nintendo thinking about eliminating consoles sometime in the future and just going the portable route, because it's hard to split development between two platforms. You know, it's a lot of money.
Right.
That might be something they do.
Right.
And if they don't do it, it would be something that might be good for them.
Right. It's fascinating. But, you know, I think that's totally a point right now that nobody has ever experienced. Like, Nintendo stumbled into it with the Game Boy. And now, you know, the handheld devices have become something totally unexpected, like T-virus mutating into some fucking nasty abomination that is just eating money from children's hands. but there's also this horrible other G-virus in the form of an iPhone that's also eating money in children's hands. And what do they do? Because, you know, they're trying to hold true to the original, like, yeah, we release a real game on this device, and we don't want to just put unhappy felines on it or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. They're getting assailed on both sides. I mean, on the console side, you know, they're getting huge competition from Sony and Microsoft. And then on the handheld side, which used to honestly be like their blue ocean, where just nobody else was there.
100%.
You know, the PSP tried to mount a challenge, didn't really succeed.
Right.
I mean, it did all right, but it didn't succeed. They're getting mobile pressure. So it's like, it sucks for Nintendo because they're getting so much pressure on both sides. They're getting squeezed like no other, honestly. And, you know, they've got their first party output to keep them going, but that's the thing. They need to pivot somehow. I don't know what they do, but yeah, it certainly seems like their portable side is a lot healthier than their console side right now.
By Sony.
It would be cool if Nintendo and Sony teamed up, but I think that's really getting into like fanboy fever dreams.
Yeah,
right there.
Totally. That's
that would be great though. It would make me happy, but yeah, I don't think that's happening. But yeah, I don't know. And then, as for other stuff on here, I just mentioned that the Vita 2000 was announced, and I'm going to buy it, probably, because I'm a dumbass. lots of Vita games. I'm excited for that thing to stick around, keep selling a couple units here and there, and get indie games. I love that thing. One of my favorite consoles this generation.
Yeah, it's a great device. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then otherwise, I mean, there's not too much else on here. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on before we kind of wrapped up for the evening?
No, I don't. I mean, there's that whole Flappy Bird hullabaloo.
I think that's been done to death on the internet. I just thought it was hilarious that people were talking so much about it being pulled. And you really should play. So, okay, everyone knows what Flappy Bird is. I'm not going to even bother telling people. No. But everyone needs to play Terry Kavanagh, the developer of VVVVVVs. His tribute to Flappy Bird called Maverick Bird, because it is far better than Flappy Bird ever was.
Well, Flappy Bird is not a good game to begin with.
I don't think Flappy Bird is as bad a game as some other mobile games. And this would be a really, this might kind of kick off a really long discussion, but it's not a very good game either.
Yeah, it's not a good game.
The cool thing about Flappy Bird though, is that it is entirely skill-based. It never gets impossible.
It's the Dark Souls of handheld.
Well, you know how, like, most Infinite Runner games... Well, no, that's not true. A lot of Infinite Runner games just get harder and harder until you just can't win?
No.
Okay. You know, like, Jetpack Joyride? Like, that model? You know how Jetpack Joyride just gets harder and harder until eventually it's impossible?
No. It's fine. You can play it forever.
Okay, never mind then. Anyway, Flappy Bird is always the same difficulty, so that's kind of cool, I guess. It is definitely a time waster, but it is 100% skill. You could do it indefinitely if you got good enough.
Sure.
So there's that.
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe you could from pipe distance or whatever, but I see what you're saying. Like, it does get faster and faster, or requiring more twitch reflexes. Like, it is always at your hands. But you know what? Flappy Bird is a dumb game. And crap that's surrounding it right now with, like, the developer trying to back out of it and removing the game from the marketplace and all that stuff is a bunch of hootenanny hoedown.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I think it's the funniest thing ever.
Right. It is the CNN nonsense story of the week. Like, it is filling the airwaves.
Yeah. It's super dumb, and it is a flame that will burn out in a matter of moments. You should play Maverick Bird, though. It has got some fat beats.
Okay.
It's a fun game. It's PC. It's not iPad or iPod or whatever.
Because the audio mixing on that game is horse trash.
Okay, it's Maverick Bird has the best okay. song. You'll like it. Have you played like Super Hexagon or VVVVVV?
I played VVVVVVVV, but I haven't played Super Hexagon. I want to.
Okay, this is more Super Hexagon.
Okay.
Well, obviously, since it's Flappy Bird tribute.
Yeah.
So yeah, play that. Otherwise, anything else here?
No.
Sonic Boom.
Sonic.
This Boom. Looks. I think it looks awful, but you
think
it looks okay?
Fine.
It's okay. Yeah, we're not going to go there. That's a whole other story. We don't want to arouse the sentiments of the furry fandom.
It strikes me as like the Kung Fu Panda of video games. Like very, I don't know, like cartoony, cutesy, whatever. Sonic sucks to begin with, so who gives a shit? Only the people who love Sonic. And if you love Sonic, your opinion is already invalid. Like, who cares?
I think I'm one of those people because I just want them to make Sonic 2 again so bad.
Actually, don't play Sonic 2 then.
I preferred Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Don't
so
go play I, Sonic 3.
And Knuckles.
And Knuckles.
Yeah.
Put it on your Tower of Power.
You gotta lock that cartridge on, and then you gotta put a Game Genie underneath it. You've seen that picture that's floating around, right?
Yeah,
of like
the
friggin' huge stack of things that actually plays games.
Right. It's just put a bunch of athletic tape around it, and you're golden.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a new Sonic game that's coming out, and it looks not like a Sonic game, so that is upsetting a lot of people. But
like me.
Yeah, but it kind of has like that, like Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter, Skylanders, like kind of hyper saturated, kind of boring design to it. So
yeah, it's got some Naughty Dog people working on it, some ex Naughty Dog guys, which is kind of cool, I guess. Yeah.
So I think crapping on it immediately because you don't like the design of the characters, you know, fine, whatever. If you're only shooting people in the game, as what it kind of seems in the trailer, maybe that's not the best thing. But
yeah.
if it is shooting, whatever, fine. And then traversal based on your character's skill, like, hey, you know what? That may be a new thing for new Sonic players. Let them have that.
Yeah, I think my reaction, I mean, I think the characters look dumb. You know, Dante's haircut is terrible. But but I think I'm more like about the whole like, oh, it's open world, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, can we just call it something other than Sonic and maybe I'll like look at it? I guess it's kind of my angle. Like, this doesn't sound like a Sonic game at all. So I'm not mad, but.
But Sonic
games suck. How can you be mad at Sonic because, you know, it's been through the washer and then some, but, you know, I'm not interested either. So there you go. That's where I stand. I'm not mad, but I'm not interested.
Okay. Yeah, this is not rekindling your Sonic love.
No, no. This is yet another Sonic game that has failed to rekindle my love of Sonic.
Sure. Like so many before.
Yeah, exactly. And that is Sonic Boom.
And that's your Boss Barrel Radio Minute.
We did it.
We did it.
It's over.
Yep.
Giant bomb length. Activate.
2.5 hours. Here we go. Next week or whatever, when we podcast, hopefully, I'll be less sick. We'll have more trivia. Everything will be good.
If I'm feeling particularly spicy, maybe I'll make a video game music trivia. Wait, no, I can't do that. Fuck.
Well,
I'll try to make it happen.
We can talk about this in after hours prepping, but thank you for listening. Also, hey, dear listeners who have made it into this 2 hours and 34 minute mark, it is entirely possible that the subscription through your iTunes will no longer work, and you will have to seek us out by clicking the link on the website of bossbarrel.com because of some hot garbage and nonsense. The podcast is not uploading accurately anymore. So just keep listening if you are, and we'll direct you to the best way to get your automatic feed going once again. But anyway, that was your public service announcement. Jeff,
paint the anus.
Paint the anus.
You need to get that guy from public broadcasting with a giant fro to teach you how to paint the anus.
Yeah, Bob Ross says, happy little anuses. Happy little anuses.
And with that,
good night, dear reader.